Shoes. Recorded live.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Manzer Ass Clowns across the Fruit Nut Zog Plain. In the open air, coast to coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this show, as always, is mainly aimed to the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, the chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. Now, this is episode number 110.5 of the Movement Turd, and tonight is the 23rd of February, 2012, and it's about 8:25 or so. Anyway, I just got things done at the very last minute. I was doing a few other things today. Let's see what the heck the official title of the show is going to be. And I think I had it just a minute ago, but let's go ahead and look at it. I think it was called about bowel movement chicken shits. Essentially what boiled down to is that most of your bowel movement chicken shits are too scared and too cowardly to go ahead and say nigger or say Jew or do whatever here. And they have all sorts of notions about how they're going to go ahead and solve things, and they're not. And how I came to that here, I'm going to go ahead and cover more select because that's far more news here. Essentially, that intellectuals don't amount to anything is not really exactly much in the way of news. I was going ahead and listen to Harold Covington's podcast of last night. Let's see why I go ahead and call this show here officially. I may go ahead and change the name of it. I may go ahead and change it later. But let's see, what am I going to go ahead and call it, at least for now? Okay, I'm going to call an intellectual too chicken shit to say nigger is too chicken shit to kill one. And folks, that's what we have in our wonderful bowel movement. And the reason I came up with that is that here they were whining about old Pat Buchanan being, poor old Pat got kicked off of MSNBC, and now he's on the Bushy channel with Fox News. And here, old Pat Buchanan was whining like a pussy that he got kicked off by the politically correct, nigger-loving idiots of the Obongo channel of MSNBC because he was too racist for them. Well, folks, you're talking to somebody who got denounced by Pat Buchanan in 2000, when I was running for United States Senator on the Reform Party ticket. And I got denounced for racism by Pat Buchanan. And folks, Pat Buchanan was known as a lying tard. He was known as a lying skunk by these Missourians for Buchanan who gone ahead and supported him back in 1996. He went ahead and sold out of San Antonio to Boob Dolt. That's exactly what the heck he did. He went ahead and sold out these people who'd gone ahead and supported them. And they told me that, hey, Buchanan's going to go ahead and sell you out and betray you. I said, nah, I ain't going to do that. Well, sure enough, he did. Pretty well, I went ahead, and as a politician, I went ahead and repeated the same thing Pat Buchanan was talking about. He'd already written a book called Decline of the West or something like that. All this thing about how we're being outbred by the beaners and they're coming in and they're going to do away with white people and Christianity. And essentially, I went ahead and wrote what we ought to do here. Essentially, what it boiled down to is don't let any immigrants in. I call them immigrants. And so what happens is at this June debate, and I went ahead and debated. The only one who showed up was old Hugh Foley. I call him Hugh World Order because he used to be part of the Federal Reserve System. He used to be part of the International Jew Bankster System. And he wasn't very popular there. But, here I call him Hugh World Order. Hugh World Order wrote a little ghostwritten book about how essentially white people needed, in addition, they needed a value-added tax like they do in Europe. And he went ahead and proposed essentially, putting more taxes upon white people and white families, a value-added tax in addition to the income tax. He wasn't going to do away with the income tax in order to go ahead and put on a value-added tax. No. Now, folks, all these taxes in the white world now essentially go to where essentially most white people can't afford to pay them taxes. So essentially all this money is being done by borrowing against these Jews who go ahead and print up the money. And these Jew banksters who go ahead and also create money through essentially making a whole bunch of loans without any reserves behind them. You know, 10 cents on the dollar if they're lucky. And so New World Order, I guess, supported all this massive debt to go ahead and that has to be repaid back by the effort of white people. You see, that's what Jews do here, is they go ahead and they live off of white people. So what they do is they get into power and they get, you know, control of the money supply to where they don't have to work. Essentially, they live off the white man. And the white man has to go ahead and work and work and work and work and then worry about essentially taking the risk that his hard work will come to nothing when essentially the Jew banksters call him the loans. And folks, as a result, we have fewer and fewer people able to go ahead and support things here because essentially the Whiggers are outnumbered. They're outnumbered here by all these niggers and the rest parasites. Now, you have more and more talk in blogs about black-run America and how the niggers are taking things over, how the Jews are taking things over. And essentially, here's Pat Buchanan, and essentially is a treasonous piece of shit, what, 12 years ago. He went ahead and then, in order to get $12.3 million of FEC, Federal Election Campaign Matching Funds, he went ahead and essentially advanced George Bush, or W, to go ahead and be selected, by going ahead and choosing a nigger running primate. And essentially, it was just altogether a matter of crooked calculation on the part of Pat Buchanan. Well, what is getting me now here is that here I was listening to old Dr. Kevin McDonald, who believes in running around and having a American third position party presidential candidate, some blue-eyed, used-to-be blonde Whigger who went to West Point, essentially acting like running a Whigger for president who's never going to go ahead, amount to anything, not even going to be a footnote, is going to go ahead and somehow save white America. It's going to go ahead and build us a national state. Okay? All right? Well, whites will be fine, Martins and alarmists. No, folks, I do say whites will be fine. I believe in Matthew 24, verse 21 through 22. I believe that the great tribulation will go ahead and save Yahweh's servant nation. That's all that's going to go ahead and save us. If you go ahead and leave it up to Whiggers to go ahead and save us, why, we're screwed. We're screwed, blued, and tattooed, as well as Jude, okay? So, CI equals Tommy Infiltrator. Well, there's probably old gender benders here. By the way, Ashkenazi Asswipe is going ahead and listening to the show, and he's been listening to some of the shows. And I'll go ahead and talk about more Skelet here in a little bit. Okay? Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and, Russ is a very honest-sounding voice here. Russ is very honest. Russ is rather gullible. I went ahead and put up an old episode number 76. I went ahead and got it up, put together, and we were finding out about Command Dork McFag. Now, last night, essentially Dan Johns, Jew boy, has pretty well gotten to where, hey, he doesn't worry about trolls anymore in his chat room. What he does, he goes ahead and censors the gaps here. He goes ahead and blocks them all together. He got a brand new computer. And what he doesn't do is he doesn't go ahead and unblock any new people come in. So as a result, you have McFag going ahead and delusionally going on and on and on and on about how he is of the tribe of Joseph or he's of the tribe of Judah and he's this and he's that. And I was sort of looking at Joe Pennsylvania and I was quite sure if Joe Pennsylvania was making fun of him or not. Well, folks, you have all these delusional tards going ahead, and these characters know enough to know that, well, if they go ahead and reveal who they are, they're not going to look good. They're going to be outed. So they're playing a little game of let's pretend. Dan Johns, he's playing a game of let's pretend. screaming and hollering about the Jews, 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 when, hey, a lot of people thought a couple of years ago he was a Jew and wanted to beat his ass in 2004, 2005, and Eli James went ahead and saved him from getting his ass beat. Dan Johns is not, well, I mean, at least Dan Johns has at least enough hold on reality to understand that he can't answer a bunch of questions, and so he doesn't answer any questions. He just goes in and blocks the guests. Well, that's a smart thing to do. Over on Covington's Facebook group, I had old McFag call me a child molester and all this sort of stupid shit. And I went ahead and came up with my own, you know, came up with number 76 and came up with, well, you know, pretty well my answer to McFag here. I ridiculed the crap out of McFag. And folks, I found out over the years that censorship only works when you go ahead and you have absolute control. If you don't have absolute control, censorship doesn't work at all very well at all. And by the act of going ahead and censoring, you're essentially pretty well giving up because you can't go ahead and make it in an open, honest debate. So should I go ahead and worry that these people cannot go ahead and, you know, meet me in an open, honest debate? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. Now, Dr. Kevin McDonald's little moderators, something like that, didn't allow me to go ahead and post essentially the story of Pat Buchanan being a whore. Okay, no problem. You have these intellectuals, and they have their little bitty notions that somehow just by wishing and wanting that's going to come to pass. Well, it's not going to come to pass. I've gone ahead many times in this movement, gone ahead and said that for all your running and all your cunning, you people don't have a plan. And whatever plan you have is just simply delusional. In fact, by me simply saying is that the solution to white dispossession, the solution to essentially white dying off, is going to be the Great Tribulation, which is going to go ahead and take care of most of the Uyghurs, but all the Muds and Jews. Let's see. Hello.
Hey, do you want me to call in? I don't think Russ wants to talk tonight.
I don't know if he does or not. Hey, Russ, I'm going to go ahead and let you take a break here. I'm going to go ahead and yak to Logan here for a minute or two, okay? All right,
so are you taking a break right now, Martin?
Well, hold on. Let's just go ahead. You know, let's go ahead and be quiet for, you know. Let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And the reason that the Uyghur problem is going to be solved is that most of the Uyghurs are going to go ahead and die. And the only way you're going to live is if you're not a Uyghur no more. So, folks, we're going to go ahead, and later on I'll go ahead and play the theme song. So we're going to go ahead and take a 30-second break. Hail victory.
Okay. Hey, listen, I caught what you were saying earlier, and I totally agree. Okay. The Jews basically are sucking the white man dry, and the Uyghurs have allowed it to happen, and the Uyghurs and the Judeo-Christian churches.
Okay. Load. Stop right now here. Let's wait. Let's go ahead and have some dead air for about 30 seconds, okay?
All right.
All right, folks, we're back for the second segment of Movement Turd. Hal's going to go ahead and wait for Rustford to call in, or Russ Walker to call in, or Troublemaker to call in. And essentially, Logan went ahead and said call in. He was saying about how wise and how smart I am and how he agrees with me. Right, Logan?
Yeah,
Well, yeah. So here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing, is that what you were saying is dead on, is that, okay, the Jews have basically sucked the white race dry, not just in America, but in all of Europe, with all the taxes and with, I mean, it's not just all the race mixing, it's just financially, you know, I mean, Greece has already imploded. They're going to do the same thing.
Well, they're not a white country, but go on.
Okay, but they're going to do the same thing, even though they're no longer a white country. Mm-hmm. They're going to do Spain, and I think Italy's next, and also Ireland. Now, supposedly,
it's called the pig. Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. All right? The pig.
Okay.
The pigs are blown up. Okay?
Okay, but now, I think Iceland, I think all the bankers destroyed Iceland, but then the
4 years ago, 4 years ago, they had the same thing going on. Essentially, the Icelanders, there was about 300-some thousand of them, 350, 370,000 of them. Essentially, what they did is that they told the British banksters and the Dutch banks, Jew banksters, essentially what they did is that they went ahead and they got some roadside flares, and they went ahead in the dead of night, they went ahead and lit their flares essentially around all these little banksters and simply said, we're not going to pay what you crooked banksters went ahead and did in our name. You didn't do it in our name. You simply did it in your own name. We're not going to pay you thieving Jew or whatever bastards here. And what they did is that among their own kind, they went ahead and deliberately decided to let their own kind, you know, their little heads of their own little banks here, the supposed heads, essentially for what they've done is that they have prosecuted these people for being thieves. That's what they've done. And they are well on the way of essentially going ahead and, you know, still prosecuting these people. But essentially what happens is that their economy went down for a while because nobody, you know, none of these banksters would loan them any money. But now they're on the way out. Essentially, they went and extended the middle finger to the Jews and the Uyghurs who went ahead and let the Jew banksters in.
The only white country that's done it so far in recent history, right?
Yes, so, you know, Iceland did it. Of course, it's a rather small little island nation.
They don't even have firearms and stuff like Americans do. And if they can do it, why the hell can't all the pussies in America and all the other white countries do it, you know?
Because the pussies in America are, you know, they're so smart. They're smarter. Well, I went ahead and I checked this book out, but this one guy, this guy named Lewis, who's been writing about this, went ahead and said that essentially these Icelanders, who are very good cod fishermen, decided that they would be even better as being international banksters, and essentially it didn't work out very good. So essentially they went ahead and just stiffed the real international banksters and told them to screw off. Well, what happens in Greece, you know, you still have them going on and on and on and on playing at, they're going to go ahead and pay off these debts when essentially they don't have the money to pay off these debts. They, you know, that these debts will go ahead and implode, and essentially they're going ahead and going after that. The reason they're going after that isn't so much because of Greece, but because of Portugal, not so much Portugal, but rather Italy and Spain. You know, and Ireland has had the same problem in that you end up having a bunch of English banksters, English Jew banksters, and the Irish have never really liked the English or the English Jews. And essentially the Irish are sort of, you know, they're going ahead and doing, essentially raising taxes and selling government services and the rest here to go ahead and pay these banksters. Well, anyway, the Greeks are not going to go ahead and do it. The Irish are not going to do it. And when it comes down to, well, Italy and Spain, well, folks, they're not going to be able to do it either. And in this country, we're not going to be able to do it either. I remember way back in 2000 when I was running, you know, as against this guy named Hugh Foley, who was one of the people who was in with the Federal Reserve, who worked as a mid-level bankster, and I called him Hugh World Order Foley. I said, hey, look, folks, if the Jews say that we owe $4 trillion, well, let's just go ahead and write them a check for $4 trillion. Yeah. Let's see how, you know, see how well they can go ahead and cash it here when especially white people say no, no, no. Well, anyway, there were a bunch of people in Missouri, and they were supporting Charles Collins as opposed to Pat Buchanan. And essentially, I end up being ratted out by this Perot guy here. He was a government worker named Bill Llewellyn. And essentially, you had all these here little, you know, there was a fight between the Perot bots and the Buchananites. And essentially,
I've heard of Charles Collins. Was he supposedly a conservative or libertarian?
He was supposedly a professional patriot. He ran around. I had my own problem. There were what these people I used to call camp followers or patriots. And essentially, that's what Charles Collins was. And essentially, he'd go ahead and believe in the same thing that Alex Jones and the rest of them believed. And I believe he was sort of legit, but on the other hand, he was a professional wannabe politician who had some money, but essentially what happens is that he wanted to go ahead and get people to, you know, run him for president or something like that here. Same way as you end up having these targets today, okay? So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, folks, this last thing to where I've tried to go ahead and run as an open white man and sued the Missouri Republican and Democrat Libertarian Party for essentially not allowing me to run because I'm a, quote, white supremacist. Essentially, there is no legitimacy at all in Zog. There's no sense in going ahead and even pretending that Zog has our best interests at heart, is there?
No, see, the thing is, Martin, is that the Jews play by their own rules, and there really is no set of rules for everybody equally. And if they don't like you, I mean, David Duke can tone his message down and get a PhD, and he can have boggles and Jew buddies in white power, and he's going to be accepted. Or Pat Buchanan is not even white power, but he's going to write a book that says, well, you know, the white man's not getting a fair shake, so I'm going to write something about the blacks, you know, and so, like, he's a tough conservative. But basically...
Well, he was a lying whore. What happens is that here I was going ahead and essentially talking about immigrants, about how we need to stop, illegal immigration, how we need, back then in 2000, the big thing that they were bitching about was taking down these Confederate flags over the capitals of South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. And essentially, I went ahead and said, hey, folks, I mean, being a Confederate is the same as being a Nazi. I mean, the swastika, the stars and bars is pretty well being on, being placed by the niggers on the same, level as the swastika being placed, by the Jews. And Pat Buchanan had said about, I'm a proud son of Confederate veterans, blah, 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 blah. How dare, essentially, Pat Buchanan denounced me for racism. And here I was. Here I was, pretty well saying the same thing that Pat Buchanan, but essentially here I was actually running for office, and here's Pat Buchanan writing the first of his whiny little books about how we are screwed and how we need to do something, and here I was actually running, essentially I was running to pretty well, everything Pat Buchanan said. Hell, I read the book, I thought it was a fairly good book, and here I was going and following him. Now, there were these people who were the Missourians for Buchanan back in 1996. And one of them said, hey, Martin, Buchanan, Buchanan's just a lying whore. He's going to screw you. I mean, what do you mean? He says, well, we supported Pat Buchanan, and Missouri was the only place where Pat Buchanan got the majority of the delegates. And, Pat Buchanan told us that, hey, we would go ahead and support, he wouldn't go ahead and sell us out in San Antonio, and sure enough, he did. He went ahead and sold out to Bob Dole. And Bob Dole was the, clown who went ahead and ran against Clinton. And essentially, Bob Dole got his ass whooped. I mean, nobody's going to vote for this old politician who essentially was talking about, talking about how he was going to go ahead and change things. I mean, hell, Bill Clinton, when he comes down to it, Bill Clinton actually did go ahead and betray the Democrats and that he went ahead supposedly meant to where niggers couldn't, you know, nigger mammies couldn't be on welfare for over 5 years. Remember? He ended a big government as we know it. And supposedly he went ahead, at least through a county gimmick, and went ahead and created a surplus. Actually, Bill Clinton, you know, for being a, quote, you know, conservative Democrat, did far more than what the Democrats, you know, the Republicans ever did as far as financial stability. It's George Bush who went ahead and pretty well, you know, went ahead and blew the surplus, blew all this other stuff. I mean, essentially it was Bush who went ahead and screwed stuff up here. I mean, you know, and here it is. Here's Newt Gingrich, and here was Henry Hyde. Essentially, here they were screwing around on their wives. Old Newt was going ahead and screwing wife number three here. You know, he's screwing around on wife number two, but he's going ahead and messing around with who became wife number three. You know, back then, here he is going ahead and going against Clinton because he got his dick sucked by a kikus. You know what I mean? Named Monica Lewinsky. You know what I mean?
But here's the whole thing. All that shit is for the Hollywood tabloids and for a circus.
Well, it's a circus for wiggers.
Two brain cells together, and all they care about is reality shows and basketball, football bullshit. The thing is, Martin, there's nobody, Ron Paul or any of the rest of them, that is going to do anything for the white race.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the same thing with so-called bowel movement intellectuals. They like talking big shit about how we need to have an ethnostate. And how are they going to go ahead and do it? I was looking at this one tard named Ward Kendall, and essentially what it boiled down is that stop wasting your money on David Duke. Stop wasting your money on Kevin McDonald. Go ahead and essentially support Ward Kendall.
I totally agree. Stop giving your money to all these people that are trying to make a living off of white power or the name of Yahweh. You know, when I was on the radio forever teaching Yahweh, I didn't take any money. Yahweh said, freely I have given to you, freely you should give to others. And all this bull, you know, the thing is that we need to be men of action. At least the Nazis were men of action, okay?
Oh, yeah.
At least the order. Maybe they didn't go about, you know, because they got caught or whatever, they're outnumbered. At least they tried. At least they weren't hypocrites. At least they weren't pussies. You know, and
yeah.
At least they didn't shell out. At least they rotted in jail rather than cut a deal with Zog and become a snitch. So you know what? I have a lot more. I have a lot more respect for people like that than put up or shut up. I mean, if you're not gonna be willing to die for a cause, then just shut the hell up and you know, roll over, become a man, John, and just be your typical white race wigger.
Oh yeah. Well, see, this talk show does not cost me anything. Well, it might cost me maybe a couple cents to go ahead and start the show. And anyway, what happens is that my webpage, whatever, I just go ahead and maintain it. No big deal. And I go ahead and I do a show about these, you know, these retards in the movement. I was going ahead and calling this old guy in Ohio to talk about Morris Gillette. And essentially, I think that Morris Gillette's mother has died. That's why he's moving to Converse, Louisiana. So essentially what you end up having is you both have August Christ as a successor, and you end up having, Morris Gillette claiming to be Aryan Nations. Well, folks, both of them, both August Christ and Morris Gillette, were kicked out of Aryan Nations and essentially not let it back in by Pastor Richard Butler. You know what I mean? Now, the one who went ahead, the very last one who went ahead and finished was Rick Spring, and Rick Spring was a Zogbot. Rick Spring was a self-admitted Asian provocateur.
Hey, Marty, I meant to ask you, what about this Andrew Bostic? He supposedly took over Aryan Nations after Augie Christ, you know, went to jail or whatever. I don't know anything about him, but he seems pretty cool.
Well, he might. I'd go ahead and look at him. I mean, I went ahead and clicked on the link. Essentially, he seems to me to be another sci-fi favor. You know what I mean? Another retard.
Somebody said that he was a member of the Nazi Party in America before he took over Aryan Nations. So I guess he was a national. So
August
thing about it.
August Christ. August Christ. I mean, essentially, he's gotten that from August Christ. Well, guess what? August Christ went ahead and rebelled against Butler. Went ahead was actually going to go ahead and kick Butler out from being Aryan Nation because Butler was senile, and that was quite true. But the thing about it is, here's August Christ going ahead and, letting in all these tards here. And what finished off August Christ is that, you know, in 2004, here he was claiming is that no longer did you have to be Christian identity. Heck, you didn't even have to be white. All you had to be was a fan nigger who was going to go ahead and give August Christ some money. So here's August Christ. You know, here's August Christ essentially was a rebellion against Butler. He's claiming to be Aryan Nations, and he's giving it to this guy named Bostwick. Well, folks, where does Bostwick come in at? Answer, well, August Christ goes ahead and ordains him. Now, folks, I do not claim the mantle of Pastor Richard Butler. What Pastor Richard Butler did was go ahead and take the, you know, Wesley Swift's church and decide that he wanted a revolution before his time. And family men aren't very good revolutionaries because they have women and children they've got to go ahead and look after. And so we're going to go ahead and let all these bikers and all these criminals and all this vermin come in, and they're going to be a revolutionary force. Well, how did that work? You know, how well did that work out? And the answer is how well it worked out was that, essentially Pastor Richard Butler, you know, had his farm taken away from him by a bunch of drooling morons and Morris D's, going ahead and essentially, you know, his last years of his life, here he was being treated by Rick Spring and his wife. And every single moron, every single imbecile, every single, you know, criminal comes in and essentially makes his last years of his life miserable. Okay, well, should I feel too sorry for Pastor Richard Butler for doing that? And the answer is, well, no. But on the other hand, why should I go ahead and honor the fact is that here you have August, you know, Christ here, who essentially, I must admit, is a far more successful thief than Morris Gillette. At least he went ahead and supposedly made off with $193,000 of VA pension money, whereas Morris Gillette never did anything other than go ahead and get himself thrown in jail and didn't manage to go ahead and take anything here. And here's Morris Gillette.
Okay, at least Augie didn't drag anybody else down with him.
Well, he didn't drag anybody down with him, no.
I mean, Augie's not the smartest white person in the world. And
oh, you can say that again.
and he's also, he told me up at the feast days he was into the white power part, but I was trying to read scripture and he wasn't interested in that.
He probably wasn't.
But the thing is,
if you said, "Oh, Akbar, $10,000 check is coming your way here," he'd probably listen to you. He probably told you he was a Mohammedan.
I mean, the thing is, I think Augie, because of his drug drinking and screwing a few women, kind of gave in to the lust of his flesh too much. But the thing is, I mean, there's some good points about him. But, you know, I mean, the point is, he married a Jew. He knew she was a Jew, and he screwed her and had a bunch of kids with her and didn't feel too bad about it.
He liked it at the time. From what I gather, when she went ahead and accused him of child molestation, and he had to go ahead and, you know, fight for his wife, I guess that Kikus pussy sort of turned sort of sour on him.
He found out there was no good Jews. He probably thought he married a good Jew, but all Jews are going to turn on you in the end. And I was lucky. You know, I told Linda, I told a lot of people, I was lucky because this lady I married looked white. And, you know, she didn't have the hook nose or nothing. And without the DNA test and without Yahweh giving me a dream and all that, I would have never known, and I would have stayed married to her. Then she probably would have, because she wanted kids on the, you know, would have had devil kids. See, the thing with me is, I hate Satan and his kids so much, and the fallen angels so much, that a piece of pussy or a mongrel kid that I accidentally fathered with a mongrel Kikus, okay,
You didn't want to be like old Dichter von Frankenwigger, huh?
Telling those pieces of garbage. But so I was lucky. I was very, very lucky. See, because I put Yahweh first over my own family, friends, over my own life. Because I tell you what, I was talking in the chat room. The reason we're in the shape that we're in is the majority of the white race, even a lot of the white race that have heard identity, they didn't want to stay in the identity message because it takes courage, it takes discipline, it takes love for Yahweh. They have to give things up. Maybe they have to give up a job or some of their finances or be persecuted. And let's face it, Martin, the white race is fat, they're lazy, they're cowards, they're Jew lovers, they're wiggers, and I don't see them. I mean, look at all the evil shit that goes on all around them, and America's going down the shithole, the whole country, the whole world. Except for Iceland, no other country. And just because Iceland kicked the bankers out, they don't have a military. So it's not like they could fight.
Well, what they have, I mean, from what I gather here in Iceland, they're letting in more Jews and Mamzers and the rest of these critters. It's sort of like old Newskike claiming to be an Icelander over on Finkelstein's chat site.
They're not pure white. They did have mongrels, but I agree with you. I agree.
Well, and they're letting more of them and more and more and more of them in. And the answer is, doesn't really. I mean, what is killing us is Zog Babylon, and what's killing us isn't. You know, what's killing us as a race isn't, so much, you know, what's killing us is Zog Babylon essentially going ahead and, you know, having Uyghurs believe that essentially they're being taken care of, be it Pat Buchanan or be it the Republicans or something like that, and it's not happening at all here. Essentially, it is this peace which is going to go ahead and kill us. And people don't seem to realize is that when I talk about how the Great Tribulation is going to be the salvation of Yahweh's Aryan, you know, servant nation, it is through the fact that most of the Uyghurs are going to go ahead and die in this Great Tribulation. But what's going to go ahead and die is that once the Uyghurs are gone, there's not going to be any place for the Jews and for the niggers and for the Mamzers to go ahead and hide. The Great Tribulation is part of the gospel. And the gospel means good news, and it's good news that Uyghurs go ahead and die, and that the millions and millions and millions and billions of Muds and Jews die too. And folks, pretty well, I'm not going ahead and promising you anything. I don't have any program other than, you know, I call it the 10,000 warlords, but essentially what I tell people is to go ahead and worry about saving yourself, worry about going ahead, you know, doing what you can do. And folks, most of the people who are listening to me.
Okay, basically a one-man army, right? Because
No, not even a one-man army. I'm just simply talking about a one-man survival group here. And I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, going ahead and culling your circle of acquaintances, your circle of relatives, and pretty well going ahead and forming your own, essentially, community of the ones that you wish to go ahead and take with you that you can go ahead and trust to have your back. I mean, and pretty well letting everything else die. You know, of not going ahead. I mean, essentially, I'm talking about since the breakdown of society, I'm just simply talking about you individually making up your society of who you wish to go ahead and survive.
I got a question for you. I'm glad you brought this up, okay? Because for right now, all my family and friends are all Uyghurs. Everybody around where I live is pretty much Uyghurs, okay? Now, should I pay my property off, or would I be better off to invest my money and just all survival? I mean, how much food and guns and ammo can you buy? I mean, am I better off to pay my property? But hell, see, here's the thing. If you leave some of the money in the bank, you might lose it because they have a banker's holiday. If I go ahead and pay my property off and pay my taxes off for this year, then at least I'm good for another year. You know, see, here's the thing. I would love to move out of this country if there was a place to move that
was there
for. Yeah.
But there ain't. There's really no place to go ahead.
Not even Canada. Okay, not even Canada. Not
Canada's, Canada's worse. Canada's worse than this country.
Not even Costa Rica, not even Argentina, not even... so basically, I know the part of the country that you're at is a lot better than most, the Arkansas-Missouri area of the mountains, because it's mostly white, it's remote area.
Well, I mean, no, my area is mainly Anglo-Mestizo, as I call it here. I mean, I've been going ahead and telling people that if you want to go ahead and have a quiet life, go ahead and find some place west of the Missouri River in North or South Dakota. You know, but on the, you know, on the other hand, you know, if you want to go ahead and eat wheat berries and pretty well, you know, live in a cheap house here, if you have what, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, go ahead and retire and essentially, you know, go ahead and wait for Zog to go ahead and fall apart here. The problem of it is that you do not want to go ahead and be above Zog's radar. You don't want to go ahead essentially and be known as someone who, you know, for most people. Now, Zog already got my number, and I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah.
But, folks, what happens is that with the 10,000 Warlords program, essentially I'm talking about decentralizing things here, and that understand that there is no program to save America. America not only cannot be saved, it shouldn't be saved. Essentially, this is Zog Babylon the third and the final. It needs to go ahead and die, and it needs to go ahead and take 120 million Whiggers with it. You know. I mean, it's sort of like, well, we're coming up on the centennial of the UFF tit antic. You know, I call it the tit antic. You know, based upon what I've seen from Leonard DiCaprio and Kate, what's her name here? I call it the tit antic. And the tit antic went ahead, and once it hit the iceberg, there was no saving the tit antic, was there?
No.
No. I mean, the thing about it is, if you didn't make it to lifeboat, pretty well you died in the cold Atlantic. Now, maybe if there wasn't any place for you, what you maybe should have done is try to figure out a flotation, you know, try to figure out your flotation device.
Listen, I found out, okay, the Titanic was made by in Ireland, and it was really made well. I found out why it sunk. It wasn't an accident. The Jews intentionally sank the Titanic because there was people on board that they were pissed off at, okay? It wasn't just a bunch of wealthy. Okay.
Well, maybe you ought to go ahead and cover that tomorrow here on your show, okay?
Okay, I'll try to get more information, but I've read that several places. But
okay.
It makes sense because stuff doesn't just happen. All these wars, all these accidents, they don't just happen by accident. If it looks fishy, it probably is because Satan and his kids are behind all the evil in the world.
Okay, well, for tomorrow's show on Logan Hunters, I mean, essentially what you're going to end up hearing there first will be it wasn't an iceberg to finish off the tit antic. It was Jews, right? Right?
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
It wasn't an iceberg. It was Jews here. Jewbergs, you know what I mean? Z-E-W-B-E-R-Gs. You know what I mean?
A bunch of dead weight parasites, blood-sucking, blood-drinking, child-stealing, child-raping, a bunch of devils that really, I'll tell you what, if you don't hate Satan and his kids with every fiber of your being, Yahweh said to hate the evil, to love the good. You really can't say you love Yahweh, Martin, if you're sitting on the fence. All these people that are white nationalists that say there's good Jews and bad Jews, they're full of shit, okay? And they only want to go back to the so-called Zionists, okay? I mean, they're insane, okay? Because once you find out that they're Satan's kids, all you have to do, even the so-called good Jews, if you look at their behavior long enough, you can see why Yahweh said they're all liars, thieves, and murderers. They just put on a show.
Well, if you believe in a good Jew, it's, you know, I mean, essentially what you're doing is you might as well just go ahead and bend over, spread both cheeks here, and ask the old, say, please, good Jew, have at me. Have at my bunghole. I really want to go ahead and be screwed, because sooner or later you will be screwed by a good Jew. You know what I mean?
I mean, if it hadn't been for the so-called good Jews, we never would have had Freemasonry over here. We never would have had all these central banks over here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Andrew Jackson killed the third, or second or third, and it came back. We never would have had all the blacks brought over here, okay? Because the Jews are the ones that brought the blacks over here on the slave ships.
Well, Wiggers has something to do with it, though.
Yeah, and see, now instead of pushing the niggers, now the number one race the Jews are pushing is brown-skinned mestizos. Now, ultimately, they're using the Chinese goops to take over. Now, it's not just China buying up America. I read somewhere where China's buying up ports in Greece, and they're buying stuff up in Australia. So China is trying to take over the whole world, and the Jews are behind it because they're going to use them to basically destroy America. Because once America falls, then all the citizens of the world will be disarmed. The only thing America has going for it, the main thing, is that white people could still own firearms, okay? Because if we couldn't own firearms, tomorrow they'd bring in all their gangs and start killing every honky they could find, raping and killing. I mean, that's how they work, Martin.
Well, I don't disagree with that here. So, essentially, have you ever met Morris Gillette?
I've never met him. I mean, I've seen some of his stuff on the internet, but I've met August Christ. I knew Newman Britton over the phone. I never met him, but I talked to him on the phone. And I was a member of William Robert Moore used to be one of the bodyguards for Butler, and he was from Clarksville, Tennessee. And I knew him. I used to be a member of the Tennessee chapter of Aryan Nations for about 6 months, but he started bringing a bunch of KKK and skinheads in there. And some of them were mongrels, and then, you know, I just told him that he was going to have to go back to Yahweh and all the laws of secret. You know, basically, it was just a little bit too liberal for me, you know?
Well, Gillette, you know, by the way, let's see, when was it? Sunday night, or Monday night, old Sean Aaron Visser went ahead and sent me an email. Essentially what boiled down to is he was flying like a pussy about me going ahead and showing pictures of his red nigger kids and his step-nigglet, Jasmine Jacko. And essentially here he was whining and pitching and moaning about, oh, I just found out about this, you know, this cool stuff you've been writing about me, boo-hoo-hoo. Well, essentially, you know, this is horseshit because essentially old Sean Aaron Visser was Jeremy Visser's little supposed webmaster. And this lying bastard would go ahead and look at my forum and knew that, know dang well what the hell I'm writing, just like old Gender Bender over on Two and a Half Mansers does. And, well, pretty much what you end up having is that you end up having this character lying. He went ahead and stalked Pastor John. Well, he's stalking me, but he's stalking mainly Pastor John Britton, putting in pictures of John Britton's children they could go ahead and find, claiming that John Britton went ahead and beat up his eldest daughter here or whatever. I mean, essentially, old Sean Aaron Visser was, you know, a part of it. Well, Sean Aaron Visser goes ahead and admits that he's, you know, that his full brother, you know, full-blooded brother Jeremy was a Mamzer, just like him, because he's Cherokee and he got other stuff and he's part Dutch. And he goes on and on and on. Well, now go ahead and take down these cruel things that you wrote about me. Well, what does this tell me? It tells me that Jeremy Visser is not coming back. Essentially, when you end up having his brother, you know, I mean, he's already gone ahead and admitted his brother was a Cherokee back in December 2010 when he was trying to get out of the stalking charge. So what happens, all this tells me is that Jeremy Visser doesn't see a way of bringing back up his form, doesn't see any need to go ahead and have his brother run this form for him. And essentially what happens is that Jeremy Visser more than likely is not going to ever come back to Christian Identity because, hey, now his own brother is claiming that he is a Mamzer, which was exactly what I was telling people. I said, just listen to what Jeremy Visser said in December 2010. So I'm not going to go ahead and take down the stuff about Jeremy, you know, about Sean Aaron Visser, Jeremy Visser's well, full brother. Okay? Not going to take it down. But essentially what it boils down to is here's Morris Gillette, and he goes ahead and ordains Brian Wright, slant-eyed Mamzer. He goes ahead and ordains Jeremy Visser, another red nigger Mamzer, and a thief who tried to steal from him. Essentially, here's Morris Gillette, and I believe Morris Gillette is old Jared Zogbot. And I was talking to this old guy in Ohio who used to go ahead and run the thing here. Here's Morris Gillette claimed to be the only genuine Aryan nation against, August Christ. Well, folks, August Christ has as much or as little a right to go ahead and claim to be Aryan nation as Morris Gillette does. I mean, heck, at least August Christ is a little Baal priest or whatever. At least they're far more white than what, Jeremy Visser, or sorry, not Jeremy Visser, but Morris Gillette's is. Morris Gillette.
Okay, see, I agree. Okay, Augie is, basically, after you've known August Christ for a little while, you know where he stands. He's not a genius. He's not hardcore on the scripture.
He's an idiot and a mooch.
He's not a traitor either. I mean, he's not a traitor either. He is what he is,
yeah.
And he's not phony. He's not a phony. I mean, he told me up front that he didn't give a damn Pamela Anderson was a Jew. He'd still bang her. You know, I mean, the thing is, at least he'll tell you,
mm-hmm.
He's not going to be a hypocrite and a phony. And, see, this is my feeling. A lot of these people that are white nationalists that get arrested, if they don't do any jail time or they get a pat on the wrist and they get out after a few months, then it's pretty much guaranteed that they cut a deal with Zog to be a snitch. I mean,
well, that's what Morris Gillette did here. He'll go ahead and lie about how I went ahead and got him in trouble. I went ahead and called this deputy assistant U.S. prosecutor named Gillespie, and he said I was an Phineas priest when I did no such thing. And essentially, Morris Gillette went ahead and ordained me, but when it came time in August to cut a deal, because essentially he was looking for 30 years. He was looking at 30 years in prison for conspiracy to rob banks here. And what happens, both me and John Britton, we knew dang well that he didn't do it for his church. He did it because he wants some Bolivian nose candy because he's a drunken crackhead. He got kicked out. He got kicked out several times by Ray Redfern back in the 90s for being just nothing more than a drunken crackhead who was always getting in trouble. And what happens is that, when Ray Redfern went ahead, him and August Christ were building his Butler, and Ray Redfern decided to go ahead and go back to Butler, and Butler took him back. But he wouldn't allow Morris Gillette to come back. I mean, Morris Gillette had a bad reputation for being just a drunken crackhead who essentially would go ahead and cut a deal with Zog. So he wasn't allowed back in. And now he's claiming to be Aryan Nation. Well, folks, it's like all these here little Christian identity talk show shows, Dan Johns, Eli James, Finkelschini, essentially they ban and they censor because they don't have any response to my criticism or anybody else's criticism about it. And essentially Dan Johns has altogether given up on essentially allowing guests to say anything. You know what I mean? Because, if he goes ahead and allows guests to say something, they're going to ridicule him. They're going to ridicule Commander McFag. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, Dan Johns and Commander McFag, Dan Johns don't have Crohn's, but his son does.
Yeah.
And Commander McFag, Steve Elber, he's got Crohn's.
Yeah.
It's all a bunch of phony Jew devils playing Christian identity like Eli James. And
yeah.
Anybody that figures out their Jews, if they have half a brain, they're not going to have anything to do with these people ever again. And see, I didn't know Dan Johns was a Jew devil when I first met him because he was friends with Wickstrom and everybody else. And I got on his radio
more.
I got on his radio show and I started hammering the government and saying the government was communist. And I started coming out hard on his radio show. And he kicked me off. He said, you can't say that stuff on my radio show. You're going to get me in trouble. Well, I did a radio show with him a couple of times, and he never uses the word Jew. He calls them the enemy, the enemy, the enemy. Well, of course, because he is a Jew himself, he's not going to bash his own race. And everybody, you know, everybody supposedly was telling me that he was identity, and I never heard him preach anything identity. I mean, basically.
Well, you know, what he does is that he goes ahead, he takes whatever Eli James tells him. I mean, you know, Eli James is his brain. Last year, I got him to go ahead and say that the Mayans were beardless Israelites, and essentially the word Mayan meant Israelite. And you know, here of all the red niggers of North America, the Mayans are, I think, the ugliest of them all here. The ones that look most like a Jew, what with the big nose and the sloping forehead, I mean, they are the ugliest of all the Indians. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And essentially, they weren't Israelites. You know, you have these Cherokees. You have these Cherokees, and I don't know. I don't know if you've heard John the Nugent, or I call him John Nugent or John the Nut Job, and essentially, old John the Nut Job believes in the Solternian hypotheses that, you know, some of these Indians went ahead and, you know, bred in with these cavemen who got, you know, who essentially migrated from Europe to America, you know, in part of the Clovis thing. And folks, it's been understood that there were whites, or, you know, pre-Adamic whites in North America as well as, you know, in Europe. Okay.
Potterdale, Jim Wickstrom, Bob Jones, and basically a bunch of other, Buddy Johnson, and a bunch of, and Paul Burnham, because Paul Burnham's wife is, she's part Cherokee, and Buddy Johnson and all his group are part Cherokee, and William Potterdale was supposedly full blood, his parents were full blood Cherokee. Now,
well, I heard Gail was a Jew.
I've heard that too. But the thing is, all these people in identity, Bob Jones and Jim Wickstrom, they're saying the Cherokees and maybe a few of the so-called five civilized tribes, but definitely the Cherokees. They're saying that the Cherokees all used to be before they race mixed with other races, Asian, Black, and other Indians. A long time ago, they're saying the Cherokees used to be pure white. Now, I don't know where they got their information. I'm not saying I agree with them, because basically I've never seen the evidence, but they're saying that the pre-Adamic whites, the tribe, because the Cherokees have some Paleo-Hebrew in their burial in East Tennessee, and that they claim to be the tribe of Judah of Ireland.
Well,
so,
see, you end up having a lot of founding fathers like Thomas Jefferson, and, you know, even as late as Louis L'Amour, believed, if you go ahead and look at some of it, you know, some of it.
Okay, say the Mormons believe that all of the Native Americans, not just the Cherokees.
Well, yeah, they're called Lamanites.
Americans were the two lost tribes of Israel or something like that.
They're the Lamanites. What happens, they got turned dark because they were bad people. You know what I mean? What happens is that around the time of the Babylonian captivity, you had these, I forget, you know, because I read the Book of Mormon when I was, you know, age of 12 at the request of my grandmother, Emma LMA Schmidt Winstead, who I love, you know, best of all my grandparents. And essentially, I went ahead and read the Book of Mormon. It took me 4 days, and she asked me, what'd you think? I said, well, Joseph Smith was quite the novelist, but by the way, I was wondering here, you know, how come the old man who went ahead and migrated, you know, he named his four sons, Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, and Sam. I mean, what happens after Nephi? Did he sort of run out of imagination here and just called Sam? You know what I mean? And, I went ahead and said a number of other things. I said that Joseph Smith was quite the novelist. Anyway, if you go ahead and look at the Book of Mormon, they go ahead and say that around the time of, Nimrod, there was a previous migration of white people, you know, who you know, when their tongue was confounded, they went ahead and got aboard a boat from the Middle East, and they sailed through the Mediterranean, and they were called the Etherites. And essentially, they went ahead and slaughtered each other. And around, what, about the year 400, 460, something like that, the last of the white generals was called, Mormoni or whatever. And essentially, that's where the Book of Mormon, that's where they call them Mormons or something like that here. And, folks, I think Joseph Smith made this shit up here. But, folks, I do believe that there were whites in America, you know, certainly North America. And, I don't believe that they were Israelites. I do believe that they were, you know, you ended up having, you know, among some people like the Mandans and like the Cherokees, you had a higher proportion of whites mixed in with them. Okay?
Okay. Now, here's another thing. Now, you don't believe that the whites that were here a long time ago were Israelites, but I went to Los Lunas, New Mexico, and you have to get a permit now. You can't, because basically the state of New Mexico bought the land, but all the land surround, and there's a landfill company that is right on the line. It's got a guard shack. Okay, and they monitor this place. You have to get it. You can't go see the Los Lunas, New Mexico. It's in rattlesnake country, too. And I went in the winter where you didn't have to worry about as much about the rattlesnakes. But I still, you still have to walk. I think it might have been the fall or winter. It wasn't quite winter yet.
So was it a Pueblo or something like that?
Well, the thing is that it's Indian country.
Okay.
So basically, the Los Lunas stone that you get to go see, as long as you stay on the trail, you're on state land. After you pay for a permit, you have to go to the Santa Fe, New Mexico. You have to pay for the permit, and then they let you go visit it one day. And I went and saw it and took pictures of it, and I sent it to a bunch of identity people up in Michigan. But I do believe it's legitimate. Now, it's in the Paleo Hebrew. It's got the Ten Commandments and some other stuff. And the Jews want to say it's a phony. They don't even want to claim it. The Indians say, listen, all the Indians around there that have been there for hundreds or thousands of years, they say this is not our writing. This Paleo Hebrew is not our language. And they say it was here before we got here. Okay?
Okay, well, all right.
Some people propose, because it's the Ten Commandments, that some Israelites left the Middle East and they came over here in boats, and that they, so they were here before Columbus and all that, before even the Vikings. They're saying that they sailed up the Rio Grande River or whatever, and they stopped off at this Los Lunas area, which is, Los Lunas is right on a stream. The property is right next to a stream that feeds into the Rio Grande, and the Rio Grande goes all the way to the Gulf or whatever. So basically, that's what they're proposing.
But okay.
Now here's the thing: a bunch of people have wanted to radiocarbon dated to prove how old it is, and the Jews, they know it's been there forever. And if they can prove that it's been there a long time, then they could prove that the white race was here way before the Indians.
Well, they have these people, you know, like who made the Clovis points here. That's part of the Soul Trainian here. You know, I don't know why here. But
I talked to the state of New Mexico archaeologist on the phone once or twice, and he said they're never going to let them date it. And now, I went after it'd been defaced. I saw on YouTube about 3 or 4 years before I went and saw it. I saw it about 2 years ago because I took a trip out to New Mexico. Now, about 5 years ago, it was still intact. Some Jew went out there with a damn hammer and started smashing the rock and defaced it, okay? You can it's still legible. Well, the top line is not even legible anymore. The rest of it's legible, okay?
Okay.
Yes, they could radio. Okay, it's in a real hard rock. Okay,
All right.
They could radio activated.
Well, I mean,
the Jews have all the power and all the money. They're not going to allow it to happen. I'm telling you, Martin, the Jews own everything. So all this shit about we're going to put up a fight, I mean, basically, you and I are going to have to just go in our underground bunkers and wait for Yahweh to destroy most of the Uyghurs, because that's where they're headed. Because
that's where they're headed.
We can,
we're on solid ground here, Logan. I mean, Logan, I just assume some of the stuff that you've come up with tonight here, like, you know, essentially it wasn't icebergs but Jewbergs, and, you know, the, which went ahead and destroyed the Titanic. I think that is on the Logan. Yeah, I think that belongs on the Logan Hunter community call, where everybody can go ahead and hear it there first. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, okay, we'll change the subject, but basically what I'm saying is, I do believe there were Adamites or Israelites way before the Gook Indians got here.
Well, I don't know about Adamites. I mean, you know, Wesley Swift, but Bertrand Comperay said that Adam was the first white man. I don't believe that Adam was the first white man. I believe he is the first white man with a soul. I believe these Cro-Magnon men who lived as late as what, 40,000 or so years ago, and they got them some cases to 43,000 BC, before Christ or before Common Era, however you want to go ahead and call it. They've gone ahead and essentially around 40-some thousand years ago, here were these Cro-Magnons who in many cases were taller, had bigger brain capacity than modern, they're called Homo sapiens, not Homo sapiens sapiens like we are. I believe that Adam was the first white man with a soul. Is pretty well what I would go ahead and say. And so I don't have a problem with that because all of
the angels from Orion were blonde hair, blue eyed, and Adam was made in the image of Yahweh and the angels. Yahweh said, "Let us make," Yahweh said, "Let us make him in our image."
Our image.
So originally, Adam and Eve were blonde hair, blue eyed, but all the angels, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, they were all blonde hair, blue eyed. And Yeshua, when he came in a flesh body, the Messiah, he was blonde hair, blue eyed.
Okay. Well, I don't have a problem believing that here. Although I'm not sure if angels really have hair, you know what I mean? But maybe they do, maybe they don't here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to think of them as being spirit beings here, so in any case I don't have a problem with evolution. I don't have a problem with John. My problem with John Nugent was essentially him being a total tard and sucking up to Trader Glenn Miller and sucking up to Alex Linder and sucking up to old David Duke and Don Black, and then go ahead and then he goes ahead and gets screwed and gets called a homosexual and a pervert and a pussy and all this sort of thing. Essentially, all these people went ahead and trusted, went ahead and screwed them. You know what I mean? And I remember calling them up on April 9th, 2009, asking them and saying, "Are you going to go ahead and announce Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder for what these bastards are saying about the order?" And, I can't do that. Well, about a month or so later, here he gets kicked off the sperm front. Here he goes ahead and gets a hard time on four or five seeds. Essentially, there's a lot of people make fun of John Nugent here. But I don't have a problem with this, Soltrian? It's not Soltranian, it's Soltrian, I believe. His hypothesis.
Supposedly, what does he believe? Is he white power or is he natural?
Well, yeah, he's wanting to run for president, supposedly, and so's Billy Roper, and so's this Merlin, what's his name, and what's the rest here. You have all these characters wanting to run for president, and whatever. I mean, hell, I can't run for United States Senator or Governor. I'm going to run for Sheriff this year, I believe. But in any case, by the way, Tuesday filing season starts in Missouri. But in any case, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem believing the Cro-Magnon men, that some Cro-Magnon men found their way from Europe to, you know, America, and that they formed these Clovis points, and, you know, they left their bodies like Kennewick Man or Cave Spirit Woman or whatever. I believe that there were, quote, whites, you know, although I don't believe they were Adamites or, you know, necessarily Israelites. I do believe there were white Cro-Magnon-type men, you know, in, you know, North America, what, 14,000, 12,000 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But on the other hand, the Bible doesn't really mention them one way or the other, does it?
No, but I'm just saying that I put a lot of, okay, it's, somebody said that the angels don't have hair. No, all the evidence I've seen is that the angels are all blonde hair, blue-eyed, and I've read a lot of lost books. I've had a lot of people tell me that have had visions or dreams from Yahweh, and all the angels are blonde hair, blue-eyed, and they're all male, okay? So all this shit about there's all Mexican and Jew and nigger and goop.
No. I'm just wondering if they have any hair at all, as we would know it, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Yahshua is the same as the Father or as the Messiah. He came in a flesh body, blonde hair, blue eye, and Adam was made in the image of the angels, okay?
Well, I remember, and, you know, Worldwide Church of God, and I went ahead and...
And actually, some of the angels did come in the flesh, because the thing is, when Abraham told Sarah to go kill the fatted calf, that was Yahshua, and two angels sat down and ate a beef meal with Abraham.
Okay.
So those angels at that time would have blonde hair and blue eyes, and they would have been able to come in the flesh and actually taste food and eat it.
Okay.
But only because they were with Yahweh. Because, see, a lot of time when the angels came down as the watchers and they entered flesh bodies and they started mating with a bunch of women that they weren't married to, and they caused... See, the reason all the angels were pissed off at Adam is because Adam looked just like them. But he had a wife. He had a blonde hair, blue eye. Even though she was a wicked slut, she screwed Satan. Basically, they were pissed off because Adam was running the whole earth for Yahweh. And basically, Adam had a wife and they didn't. So that's why some of them came, you know. I'm just saying this is part of the problem, a lot of the jealousies. And that's why some of the angels are siding with Satan and the Jews to destroy not just the white race, but everything that Yahweh's made. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on that's not taught by anybody else in identity, and definitely the churches aren't going to teach any of this. And basically, Martin, I told you, and I don't know if you want to bring this up right now, but I turned Alex Jones on for about 10 minutes yesterday, just for a joke, and this is what I heard in a 10-minute segment of Alex Jones. He was pushing Ron Paul. Ron Paul is a savior. Ron Paul is basically the only salvation for the universe. Ron Paul. He said, I don't care if there was a black man or a Chinese goop man that was the same as Ron Paul, or even another so-called white man that stood for what Ron Paul said. He said, I vote for all of those in a second, white, yellow, or black. And then he goes on to say that if there was a brown Latino spit mongrel that stood for the same thing as Ron Paul, I'd vote for him in a millisecond. So he's saying that brown skin is 1,000 times better than white, yellow, or black. That's what Alex Jones is teaching. And that's what all of the Jews in Hollywood, and that's what all the Freemasons and all the Muslims are teaching. Well, just like Eleanor Roosevelt said, I dream of the day when America and basically the whole world, that all the children will be light brown skinned and there will be no more pure races.
Who said this? Alex Jones?
That's what Eleanor Roosevelt said. But Alex Jones is the one that...
She has an ugly cactus here herself, so oh well.
Alex Jones takes it. He's married to a Jew. He has Jew children, and he gets all of his money from serpent seed. He's basically, he sits on the fence, he puts out a little truth, but he basically is saying, Alex Jones is saying brown skin is better than white, yellow, or black.
Oh, well.
Because, basically, he's going to be a good little wigger and be rewarded if he says that. And see, that's what, okay, if you used to watch the TV 20 years ago, it was all about pushing the niggers. Now they're pushing the brown skin. And really the only reason, okay, basically in the media they're pushing brown skin. But now the Jews right now, you would think that China is their favorite country because but they're only using China, the slave labor, and ultimately they want to use their military to destroy America and finish off the white race. But see, the Jews have biological weapons to destroy most of the Chinese, too. See, the Jews have all these biological and chemical weapons that they've engineered to destroy all black, yellow, white. And they can go underground in their underground bunkers, and they can hide out while the majority of people die off. And you know what? They don't even need, I mean, basically their goal is to have a world where all Jews are gods, all the high-level Jews, and all the microchip brown-skinned mongrels are their slaves, and they can even start cloning them, too, if they get out of hand and they kill some of them off, okay? So basically, they don't need, as far as the Jews concerned, the Jews and their father Satan, they think that they're going to destroy Yahweh and that Satan and the fallen angels will serve with the Jews to run the universe. That's what, of course, the Jews can't leave this planet. Now, the fallen angels could technically go to other planets or other parts of the universe, but the Jews, that's the reason that whatever alternative 4, alternative 5, that's the reason the Jews are pushing, you know, because Yahweh said in the scriptures there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But Joseph Jeffers, Sherry Schreiner, all the churches, all they want to talk about is heaven on earth. Okay, Don Henley and Phil Collins, both serpent seed Jew devils, they push the rock and roll and all that satanic crap. They both say in their music that heaven is on this earth. It's nowhere else. Because that's all they have, Martin. Yeah, that's why both space shuttles blew up. I mean, even a nigger or gook or a spit or a mongrel that don't have serpent seed blood, they can get on a space shuttle and leave the earth. But both space shuttles that blew up had serpent seed on them. They know they're never getting off this earth. That's why they want to convince all the wiggers that, and like Project Bluebeam or whatever, they want to convince everybody that a phony version of God is going to come back and set up a kingdom on the earth, and we're all going to be one big, happy, satanic, communist family, and one day we'll all be brown skin. Now, do you follow me?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
they're pushing. This is what they're pushing, and I'm not going to fall for it. I mean, come on. It's bullshit. It's
okay.
Communism.
Wait. Logan. We've been out for an hour and 3 minutes. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, okay?
Sure.
All right. Hell with you, folks. Okay, folks, we're back. Speaking of Stevie Nicks, who's in the chat room, I was in the Army I was in the Army, 1982, when she came out with Belladonna. and her album.
She's got to be a Jew.
I think she's a kikist here, but what she had, she had a whole bunch of female backup singers, and she had them on one of her albums here. You know, I think it was after Belladonna. And they look like a bunch of lesbians here for some reason. They look like a bunch of hungry kikist lesbians.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
These are in the Wicca witchcraft. A lot of them are bisexual lesbos. And, you know, people in the chat room are saying that a lot of these witches and a lot of these satanic women are hot. But, I mean, all they are is possessed demons. I mean, you know, if you want to go ahead and dip your wick in some nasty serpent, you know, hole, I mean, I hope you wear a condom like I did, you know, when I was married. Praise Yahweh, I didn't mix blood touching blood. But I'll tell you what, Martin, it's so fun to hate Satan and his kids. I'm never going to go back to God loves everybody. I'm never going to go back to we all come from Adam, we're all God's children. You know, I don't even hate the niggers and gooks, really, because on their own home planets, when Yahweh made them, they were fine. But once you realize that Satan and the fallen angels and all of his children, his CDK and serpent kids, that all they do 24/7 is hate Yahweh, hate the pure white race, hate the other pure races, and destroy everything. Once you realize that, how can you go back to saying that, oh, they seem like good Jews like Eli James and Brother Nathaniel Kavanagh? I mean, how can you even look at them and see anything but a devil?
Well, old Brother Nathaniel Kapner, he had old Wiggersquill. Essentially, old Brother Nathaniel was going to go ahead and suck up to Harold Covington. From my gear, Harold Covington, you know, was able to figure out old Brother Nathaniel was a kike. And essentially, old Brother Nathaniel went ahead and changed his tune, and here's Wiggersquill having a fit about it. You know, I mean, you know, come on, Wiggersquill. If you don't like Jews, why are you all pissed? Why are you supporting this Jew who is all pissed off at Covington because Covington didn't want anything to do with him? And, I mean, isn't that the way you're supposed to act toward Jews? I mean, sort of, you know, at the very least, sort of keep them at a distance here, you know, because you know dang well that they're not to be trusted. But, no, I mean, you have all these characters acting, you know, contrary to what they are supposed to go ahead and be acting. Anyway, I was going to go ahead, and I was looking, you know, pretty well. You know, I've been able to go ahead and post about my history with Pat Buchanan. Back in 2000, I was running as a Reform Party candidate for United States Senator. And I was facing this here bankster, you know, supposedly international bankster named Hugh Foley, who I call Hugh World Order, and this other guy who never showed up named James Hall from Republic, Missouri, and essentially he never even bothered to show up at any of these things. And I showed up at the June thing with my little brochure updated to where I called Beaners immigrants and essentially said that, hey, let's not let the niggers run wild. Let's not let them go ahead and take down, you know, the Confederate flags over the state capitals of South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. I mean, I went ahead and pointed out is that if you go ahead and let niggers go ahead and determine what you get to go ahead and show, eventually, if they're able to take your symbols, they're going to be able to take your women and your money and your property and your land and your women. Because, hey, you know, once a nigger goes ahead and finds out that you're weak, you know, essentially, you know, see, a nigger has two beliefs toward wiggers. One is fear, and the other is hatred. And if you're stupid enough to go ahead and let a nigger get to where he doesn't fear you, you're going to have to deal with the nigger's hatred. Anyway, I went ahead and wrote a brochure to that effect, and I went ahead and passed it out among all these people. Some of them were, one or two of them were actually from Don Gaiman's church here. And essentially, I didn't say anything against Don Gaiman. And essentially, they liked me just fine. They liked Charles Collins, you know, just fine. And essentially, Pat Buchanan had won the vast majority of the delegates, you know, in the presidential primary in Missouri. So, in any case, though, is that he wouldn't bother to show up. You had these Perot people, you know, and this was this state bureaucrat named Bill Llewellyn, He had Marvelline Panky, and she's an Anglo mestizo, more like mestizo Anglo, and she's nuts as can be. And, essentially, I went ahead and I gave a speech, went ahead and said that, folks, we need to go ahead, essentially, and guarantee, see, the price of gas went up to $1.61, and it was just high as can be in summer of 2000. Really, really, really high. Now, it went down to $1 or so a gallon, but in the summer, it was real high. And I went up there, to Kansas City, and I went ahead and gave a speech. I went ahead and gave my, brochures, and here they do. They go ahead and send it to Boss Vernon, who was the pro person who went ahead and supported old, what the heck was his name? His name was Hagler. He was part of the Natural Law Party. Now, for those of you, essentially, they believe in tantric flying, and they believe in the Maharishi, and they have a little, they call it Guru U in Fairfax, Iowa.
That sounds like a bunch of Jewish hogwash, that Guru.
Well, no, it's Guru U. It was dothead, a bunch of dotheads or something like that here. I call it Guru U here, some Jew age horseshit. Essentially, here is Buchanan, go ahead facing the Perobot choice of, John Hagler, from the Natural Law Party. And yet you'd have the Natural Law Party in Missouri get on the ballot. Essentially, you'd have the Moonies collect 10,000 signatures or buy 10,000 signatures or whatever, and they would get on as a party and then face the Libertines. So anyway, they were going to go ahead and face Pat Buchanan. Well, anyway, they went ahead and presented this thing, and they started whining about racism. I said, why worried about my racism? I mean, hey, Jews are the spawn of Satan. I mean, Jews are evil. Jews are just a bunch of thieves and parasites. So are the niggers. And essentially, let's not let any more beaners in this country. Let's kick out the ones we got now. And, oh, my God. Oh, just had a fit. So what happens is that Bernie went to old Gerald Mohn, who was supposedly Pat Buchanan, the former Reform Party chair, and the Mohner went ahead and seen which way the wind went. So he went with Buchanan. And Buchanan went ahead and denounced me and, Joseph Keller. And Keller was one of these characters who was really one of my good friends, and he went ahead, and I guess he was a good friend. He sort of betrayed me, too, here, but what to say. And anyway, when I was sitting in that house and all this good, good shit here. And, folks, I had a bunch of people I thought were my friends who just pretty well abandoned me, to my own devices here, as best I could, in the summer of 2005. And I really don't have much or anything to do with them anymore because, hey, I found out what kind of friends they were. You know what I mean? So anyway, getting on with it,
Hey, I'm going to tell you something, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get hardcore and stand for the truth and you get around a bunch of your family, friends, or white power, or so-called patriots, and once you see that they're phony, I mean, why would you want to suck up to them and compromise and lick their boots for their friendship? You know what? I don't have a lot of friends by choice. I'm not a popular person among Satan and his kids. They hate my guts. But you know what? I don't want them to like me because then that means I'm doing something wrong.
Well,
so you know
it still hurts.
I don't want their friendship because if they're not going to change, why the hell do I want to be around a bunch of wiggers that are going to stab you in the back at the first opportune moment?
Well, I mean, that's pretty well the way I felt. Although I found this one guy named Angus. I mean, essentially, I found out that, his so-called friends, he was dead for, just a week shy of 2 years before they found out he was dead. And what happens is that, they found out about that. And, around September, I went ahead and I forgave my friend Hengist. because essentially he was a resident alien. He'd been brought to this country in 1943 as a young child, him and his mother. And essentially, you know, I mean, these people were out to get me, reached as far as, you know, national dog. I mean, they essentially told him is that if he didn't denounce me, if he didn't betray me, he would be sent, you know, he would be shipped back, he would be deported back to England without his pension, from Washington State here. So, folks, I went ahead and I forgave my friend Hengist, but he went ahead and said that I was in that case. I belonged in the same asylum. I mean, essentially, and I found that out when I found out that he was dead. And, the rest of them, I mean, I've essentially written them off, although it really does hurt. I mean, it really does hurt when you go ahead and find out that your relatives, that you, these people that you call friends, I mean, essentially, they weren't such good friends at all. I mean, it really does hurt when you go ahead and find out that these people that you call friends were just simply traitors. I don't know. I mean, I pretty well tried to cultivate the impression that I'm a man of iron. I'm a man of steel.
Because you invested time, you trusted them, you cared.
You invested time and trouble, and then you go ahead and say, "Well, I'm such a fool that I went ahead and trusted people who are so untrustworthy." And it does really hurt here when you go ahead and find out, But then again, my own brother, was a traitor, at least to me and my dad. So, and you can't blame Jews for it. You can't blame Trump.
I can understand brothers fighting, but I don't see how your brother could sell your dad out. I mean, with you is one thing, but it's pretty bad to do something against your mom or dad, especially.
Well, I mean, my big fight started with him in 2001 when he said he was glad to come and set my dad in prison. You know what I mean?
I sort of suspected
the way, that he did feel that way, but especially when he went in and said that, we had a big old fight here, and essentially, that's just the way he felt here because, he loved my dad, but he loved his money better, or what he thought was his money, and essentially, as he looked at, my dad was spending what he regarded as his money. So, I mean, it gets to where he calls me up. He wants to go ahead and snivel about stupid crap. I mean, when he thinks he got an advantage. And, that's the way my brother is here. He's just simply a thieving Uyghur traitor. And, I'll listen to him for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then when he starts, we had this big old fight in South Dakota in May 2001. And when I got back here, Mike said he was glad the government sent my dad to prison. My mother said, well, I was glad the government sent Richard to prison too. And so as a result, I'm sort of glad my dad wasn't around to hear his son and his wife say that sort of thing. But hell, I mean, there's people, and there's the vast majority of Uyghurs who essentially have no loyalty to anything other than themselves. And if you go ahead, what do you blame that thing on here? And you essentially wonder is that, it's not genetic, it shouldn't be genetic, but essentially what it is it's just Uyghur weakness, it's just Uyghur worthlessness to where, hey, I mean, my brother loves money more than he loved my father, and he loves me here. So, what to say?
Like your brother. Most white people are like that.
Well, most Uyghurs are like that here. I mean, essentially, am I supposed to go ahead and, like I said, unlike most so-called, quote, white leaders here, well, I go ahead and read Jeremiah chapter 16 about how the vast majority of Uyghurs are going to be dead, and that you're not supposed to go ahead and, cut the corners of your beard. You're not supposed to go ahead and question Yahweh's judgment and killing the vast majority of Uyghurs, men, women, and children. I mean, I've got to where I think that is a just decision by Yahweh. but you will have Uyghurs get all uncomfortable when you go ahead and read from Jeremiah chapter 16 or Ezekiel chapter 9 or what have you, to where, how can you be that way? How can you be so cold? How can you be so cruel? To go ahead and understand is that the vast majority of Uyghurs are just simply, you know, waste of Uyghur skin, you know, waste of Uyghur skin, like Luke Lavellian used to say. And that's the way they are. But getting back to Pat Buchanan here, he went ahead and denounced me and came out on the front page of the July 27th, 2000 Kansas City Red Star. And I had these people, Buchananites in office, oh, don't go ahead and listen to Buchanan say this. Don't listen to Buchanan say that. He felt he had to do it here. He felt he had to, you know, don't go ahead and denounce him in return. So I went ahead, and I didn't say much of anything other than essentially, well, I went ahead and pointed out that there were these people, Missourians for Buchanan, who in 1996 told me that Pat Buchanan was a, you know, was a treasonous, traitorous piece of shit. He went ahead and betrayed them. They supported him. And he went ahead and sold them out in San Antonio at the Republican convention in 1996. And essentially, I was a fool to support Buchanan because Buchanan would screw me. And what happens is that when he went ahead and denounced me for racism, essentially I had one of them who lived up in Columbia call me up and say, I told you so. Martin, I told you so. And I said, yeah, you told me so. What to say? He did tell me so. And essentially, I believed, I guess I was so special that, you know, that Pat Buchanan wouldn't betray me. I'm just so wonderful. Well, hey, he did go ahead and sort of, you know, screw me over. Well, what happens is that two weeks later, they are at the Reform Party Convention in Long Beach, and the Hagelinites and the Probots, they're outvoted by the Buchanan delegates, so they have their own little thing with Boss Flurney, and Boss Flurney is whining about racists in Missouri and how Doc Keller was not only a racist, he was a sexist because he believed in repealing the 19th Amendment here, which allowed women to vote, and boo, 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 boo. Well, in the meantime, I go ahead and look, and pretty well about the second day, I go ahead and I see a nigger female, and her little head, she got a whole bunch of white teeth, her head is bobbing. And I say, you know, just like one of them little dolls with their little heads bobbing. And I said, this don't look good. And sure enough, old Pat went ahead and announced her as his running primate. So what I did is I went up there, and I went to my Malibu, and I peeled off my Buchanan bumper sticker. I didn't peel it off when he went ahead and screwed me over and betrayed me and denounced me for racism. No, I went when he went ahead and chose a running primate. But why did he do that? And it wasn't just to go ahead and declare that he was racist here, but he also did it as part of a quid pro quo to where he was going to be determined to be the official Reform Party presidential nominee over John Hagelin, the Moonie. And what he got is he got $12.3 million of federal election campaign matching funds based upon what Perot did in 1992 and 1996. Essentially, Pat Buchanan did it for the money. Okay? That's why he went ahead. Now
I agree. Just like somebody said, you don't get to be on Fox TV. And look, this judge, Napolitano, that got kicked off TV, mm-hmm. He's a Jew devil. I think Janet Napolitano is his cousin. So all these people thinking he's a patriot, well, he's just like all the other Jew devils that pretend to be good little Jews. Come on.
Well, he's just another dog false front. Anyway, that's what old Pat Buchanan did. Now, later on in 2001, and I'm going to go ahead and put that up here, but later on in 2001, I went down with Doc Keller to Nashville. Me and Doc Keller were the only two actually elected people there. Marveling Panky got elected, chairman of the Reform Party. She started going ahead and banning people, kicking them out illegally. And essentially I went down there, and pretty well Buchanan went ahead, and in order to take the $500,000 and finish off the Reform Party, he went ahead and passed a no abortion, for anybody, you know, language or something like that. And I managed to go ahead and get on the front paper because Ebola, you know, well, I call her Ebola Gadsby, Zola Foster tried to accidentally enter my hotel room, you know, and I was clad in nothing but very skimpy underwear. Essentially, I got her to admit that. And, you know, sometimes I can be charming. I can get niggers to go ahead and vote for me even though they don't like me, you know, by going ahead and appealing to what they want. And essentially, I got old Marveline Pankey elected chair, you know, chairwoman of the Missouri Reform Party by going ahead and, you know, telling the probots that they didn't want to be Buchananite, you know, as chairwoman or as the chairman, and tell them, you know, Buchananites that they didn't want a probot, you know, elected as chairman. So essentially, I got this Anglo Mestizo or Mestizo Anglo Marveline Pankey, nuts as hell, elected as chairwoman of the Missouri Reform Party. And I went down there. Essentially, we got voted out. Me and you know the Missouri delegation, the legitimate Missouri delegation, the Missouri California delegation got voted out by the probots. And essentially, you know, essentially what happens, Pat Buchanan finish off the Reform Party at the convention in July of 2001. But anyway, I got on the front paper here, the Nashville Tennessean, making the probots look like a bunch of clowns.
So, hold on, wait a minute. You were in the Nashville newspaper, how long ago was it? When was this?
Let me go ahead and look at here. Let me see. July 2001 here. Is that how you appealed to her here? Oh, well, she seen me in my very, very skimpies here. She wasn't paying attention. She wasn't paying attention to what this, nigger, bellhop told her. She accidentally entered, tried to enter my room. And essentially, what it boiled down to is old Doc Keller supposedly got somebody claimed to be an Aryan Nation's pastor, and the guy turned chicken shit about 60 miles into Illinois. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead.
Listen, the Nashville Banner in Tennessee, they're owned by a bunch of Jews, the Siegenthaler family, and I think their son, I think he's on ABC or NBC News, but he's one of the anchors or whatever. But that's their son out of New York City or whatever. But
oh, that's dude. Okay. Well, see, what happens is I went ahead and said Christian Daddy. I went ahead and said militiaman. I went ahead and said a number of things, and that reporter went ahead and picked it up, and here I was, a white supremacist. So he went ahead and wrote about that, and I managed to go ahead and convince this nigger. I mean, she didn't know it was me who had denounced here. Let me go ahead and see. Let me go ahead and get that link up here. Okay? I'll go ahead and put that link up.
Hey, Martin, listen. I'm not going to stay on for much longer, but just go ahead and we'll advertise my show, and then if somebody else wants to call in a little bit.
Okay, let me go ahead. I mean, this for the past 2 weeks here, I've gone ahead and scheduled Keith Southworth's, Christian Identity Bible Study. And essentially, Keith, for the last 2 weeks, you know, hasn't even bothered to go ahead and respond to me via Skype or, you know, even go ahead and get on, do a show. So essentially, I'm not going to bother going ahead and scheduling anymore. I mean, Keith should know how to go ahead and schedule his own show. And I'm not going to go ahead and bother with it, okay?
Yeah, I understand.
And essentially, I don't know. I mean, I might go ahead and do my own Bible study or something like that on Tuesday nights here. I got tired of being called a liar and heretic by Keith all the time here just because I disagreed with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
that's very immature and childish. And the thing is, he can't prove his position. That's the whole thing. And to call somebody a liar or heretic, there's opinions and there's facts. And a lot of stuff that people teach, even in identity, might be strong opinions, but they can't prove it. Look, I told you before I met you, everybody else in identity. When I first came into identity, they were all teaching pre-existence. Now, I know Jim Wickstrom, Buddy Johnson, and a bunch of other people, Bob Jones, they teach reincarnation. They may not teach it openly, but they've taught it before. Okay.
Okay, well.
Thank you. I don't have the proof. I don't have the proof. I don't have the proof to prove pre-existence or especially reincarnation 100%. So I don't teach it. I've just told you this is what people have told me.
Okay. I don't believe it. I don't believe in pre-existence. Okay. And
okay, well,
but, you know, a lot of it is because, I mean, I really had never heard of pre-existence until, well, essentially Keith brought it up, and then you brought it up.
I know Wickstrom teaches it. I don't know who the first one in identity.
Well, and the answer is that, you know, the way I look at it, if I wanted to believe in pre-existence, I'd be a Mormon. You know, I don't want to be a Mormon. I don't want to be a Hindu. I'm not going to go ahead, and you know, I don't believe in it myself. And,
well,
pretty well,
so let's just forget about that.
I'm not going to go ahead and preach it. But on the other hand, I really can't prove or disprove it, you know, one way really or the other. It's just that I don't believe in it myself. And, I'm going to go ahead and leave it at that. But, you know, about, 3 weeks ago, I got pretty well annoyed at being called, you know, called a heretic. So I just went ahead and hung up. And then the next week, I went ahead and essentially was, well, you know, pretty well having a, having a disagreement about the immortality of soul, you know, of souls and how you burn hell forever and ever and ever. It's another thing I don't believe in. And essentially, what I decided to do is, you know, rather than argue with Keith or do anything more, you just let Keith have his own show. It's just that Keith doesn't seem to want to go ahead and do his own show by himself. And in any case, rather than quarrel or fight or argue over, you know, over what I think is simply a dead issue that is not worth, you know, is not worth going ahead and screaming about, because, you know, folks, within what, 30 miles of me, there's several hundred British Israelite, you know, believers. You know, most of them formerly from the Worldwide Church of God and offshoots from it, and then some of them, you know, offshoots of, you know, you have Arnold Murray, what, 55 miles south of me here. I mean, I have better things to do than fight with Arnold Murray supporters or the rest of the Herbertites or anything like that. I don't believe in even arguing with them, in, you know, at all, you know, much less anymore.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
What's
I agree.
The point? What is the point? Okay.
I'm not going to argue with people. Let's see, like with Keith. Okay. I tried to, okay, so he said, well, I believe this, and I tried to move on to that. And he basically, when you know, he got my number from you, and he called me up, and basically, he slammed the phone down 4 or 5 times, and he did not want to listen.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, basically, I'll tell you what, you know, I can put a lot of stuff out there that's my strong opinion, but if I say something is from Scripture, then I'm going to try to prove it from Scripture, and all this other stuff, if it's Jewish fables, if it's Zechariah Sitchin or Joseph Jeffers or Sherry Schreiner or some other bullshit, okay, that's a bunch of crap. I mean, that's not provable. That's just some Jewish fable and, you know, or some doctrine of man, and, you know, basically, it's kind of sad that Keith did that, because I thought he was real young and kind of immature when I talked to him on the phone, but you told me he's older than you.
He's a couple years older than me.
That's pathetic. I mean, he's a lot older. He's older than both of us, and he's acting immature, and, you know, that's...
Well, he believes what he believes here, and I don't know. I got to the point where... Yeah, you know, I mean, essentially, I didn't think we could go ahead and go along together very much longer here. So,
it's sad. It's too bad. No,
well,
move on. If he decides he wants to go back to doing a show, fine. If he does, fine. I'm going to keep on doing mine as long as I can, because I enjoy it. I enjoy, I mean, even if I have 5 listeners or 50 or 500, to me, I'm speaking the truth, hopefully, to only pure white race Israelites, because we're only supposed to kill the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Anyway, I'm going to be on at 7:15 Central, 8:15, you know, basically.
Tomorrow. I'll go ahead and schedule your show for you if you want here tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow morning or afternoon, okay?
That sounds wonderful. Listen, I'm going to let you go, and thanks for letting me be on, and I'm glad you brought a lot of important stuff about Pat Buchanan and everything.
Well, I mean, tomorrow, I guess you're going to hear it on the Logan Hunter, you know, show tomorrow, but essentially it wasn't, you know, it's coming on the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the USS Titanic, as I call it, the Titanic. Some people call it Titanic. I call it the Titanic. And essentially, it was caused by jubergs, not icebergs, right?
Well, no, basically, it was basically, now, that doesn't mean that there weren't, that doesn't mean there was icebergs there, but that wasn't the only reason. Now, here's the funny. They've got a Titanic Museum in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and they also have one in Missouri in Branson. And it's owned by the same guy, and he bought all the rights to all the salvage. After they salvaged all the material off the Titanic when the divers went down there.
Yeah.
So I went to the museum, and some of my information I'm getting from that, and some of them I'm getting it from some other sites off the Internet. But anyway, we'll talk about that and a lot of other stuff, and always about Yahweh and his laws and the pure water. And so anyway, 7 o'clock, the chat room will be open Central Time, and then about 7:15 we'll start the show. And I guess I'll have you and maybe Linda on tomorrow.
Okay, well, I'll call here. There was one time I got annoyed at you. When was it? A week or so ago here, and pretty well.
That was my fault. Hey, you know that was my fault because I think I raised my voice or whatever.
Well, I mean it was like Rocky III to where, come on, Mark, come on. This is not Rocky III. You know what I mean?
I did apologize.
You did. And what happens, I end up going ahead and calling you, you know, pretty well at the, end of your, 4 or 5 hour, you know, show here. You know, I had to go ahead, I had to do a few other chores, so I just went ahead and I was listening in a little bit, about every half hour or so, but, I went ahead and did my other chores too here, you know what I mean? That's the good thing about Talk Show, it's free. And sometimes it's worth all you paid for, okay?
I agree.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later. Hail victory, okay?
Hail victory. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Folks, we're going to go ahead and take a short pause here, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Hail victory, folks. Alrighty. Okay. All right, folks, we're back. It wasn't much of a break. Somebody was talking about Jim Giles. Jim Giles has come on back for about 5 weeks now. Maybe less, I don't know, around a month or so. And, folks, let me go ahead and give Jim Giles credit for when he used to be the, quote, white nationalist Dick Cavett. He would go ahead and get wonderful interviews. I like listening to William Lind. What happens is that he hadn't read William Lind's book. From what I gather, I don't think Jim Giles has read much of any books here. But folks, when he used to go ahead and essentially interview people, he would do a wonderful job here. And folks, let me just guess here. These are far better interviewer than I am. Of course, I am not much of an interviewer at all. Very poor, in fact, at doing it. And I know I'm poor at, you know, interviewing people. You know, very poor at doing so. The thing about it is, though, is when Jim Giles decided that he was going to become a, quote, movement leader on the grounds, which aren't too bad, is that he could do at least as good a job as old David Duck, who he didn't like, who he wanted to be, or to go ahead and, you know, be Alex Linder or whatever. Folks, when he decided he was going to go ahead and be a movement leader, a bowel movement leader, after going ahead and making fun of a lot of them, and rightly so here, essentially that's where he sucked. Folks, when he went ahead and expected he was going to go ahead and make money on the internet by going ahead and doing what he liked here, doing here, why, he wasn't very good at all. At all. Now, I would not have had, and I'm going to go ahead and put it up, folks. I wouldn't have had a blow up with him if he wouldn't have been for 3 weeks, twice every day, for three solid weeks, trying to shit on Edgar Steele, trying to prove Edgar Steele guilty. Folks, after about, you know, after when 3 weeks came by and he was doing the same thing with Mona Montgomery and with Hattie the Meerkat, I decided that I was going to go ahead and put an end to it, and I figured out that the way to do that was to make him blow up and scream and holler about how he could go ahead and break this lawyer's neck. And I got him to do that. And he screamed at me some, and it didn't bother me one damn bit. Folks, I'm not scared of Jim Giles, I'm not scared of Alex Linder, and I'm not scared of Trader Glenn Miller. As I look at, their proper job is to be scared of someone like me. And so, hey, I pretty well got him to do what I wanted him to do. And I figured out that, yes, he would go ahead and scream his hatred of Edgar Steele. And I got him to do that. Now, did I deliberately try to go ahead and, you know, finish? And, folks, I don't have a problem with Jim Giles. And Jim Giles, he still hurt a little bit that I called him a federal informant. Well, hey, if you go ahead and you write a letter to a United States prosecuting attorney telling that so-and-so is violating the terms of his probation or parole like he did with this one retard named Jones or something like that, who's affiliated with Commandor Mitch Tits Bill White. Folks, you've already said you're an informant. You're already informing. And so what are you doing bitching here simply because I go ahead and point out what you have already said about yourself? And the answer is, well, no problem. Now, folks, I hope Jim Giles has learned from something. Let me say this, that Jim Giles is entertaining. Now, as entertaining as Hal Turner. But he is entertaining. And I don't have a problem with Jim Giles getting back on the internet. Not that it's my decision to make. It's Jim Giles' decision to make. He's going to go ahead and find out that our wonderful little bowel movement, even though it's more addictive, like Harold Covington says, than crack cocaine, our wonderful bowel movement is something that whatever you put into it, you're not going to get what you get out. You're not going to go ahead and pull a tenth out of it, what you put into it. Not unless you're a total crook or a zockbot like David Duke or James Wickstrom or anybody else here. That's just the nature of our wonderful bowel movement. And unlike all these other great mini-Fuhrers or phone book Fuhrers or whatever, folks, I know as much here as that there is no plan that's going to save the white race. The white race is going to have to go ahead and go through a period of trial and tribulation, a great one. They're going to have to go through a purging. They're going to have to go through the refiner's fire And what comes up here is going to have to, when it's repurified, it's not going to go ahead and be as numerous as it was by a factor of at least 100 when it comes out. And, folks, we need to understand that. If we don't understand, you know, why does Duke dye his hair but not his beard? Well, folks, I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I mean, maybe what happens is that maybe the Duckster has a policy of only going ahead and dyeing his long hairs and not his short and curlies. How's that? I don't know the Duckster, what he's doing. And the Duckster don't tell us here. You know, but I did see this hilarious cartoon, about, liposuction from Scorpio, NorCal, or Sir Poco, or whatever, okay? No one knows. Folks, the Duckster is a crook. The Duckster is a crook. I had an open gender bender whining and pissing and moaning about me making fun of Paul Fromm, April Gady, the Duckster. Who else here? And Morris Gillette. And folks, what happens? Finkelschini has a problem with Morris Gillette because Morris Gillette is sucking up to Elier. Folks, oh, by the way, I went ahead and called up this old guy in Ohio. And essentially, the guy hasn't heard from that here. And I went ahead and talked to Pastor John Britton. And this, this wonderful big new world headquarters, universal headquarters of the Aryan Nation. I think, from what I gather, Morris Gillette's mother has died here. Essentially, he's gone ahead and sold the farm, or sold her, whatever here, and he's getting some money, more money, from the Harold Groom's estate here. Folks, don't send him any money. He got $500,000 in that estate here. So $500,000 divided by 40 payments of, 40 years. And essentially, Nazi died in, 2003, 2004. So essentially, there's about 7 years. It's already gone ahead and passed. Now he's finally getting some of the money back here, maybe about $10,000 a year. So essentially, it's gone from $400,000 to $500,000. Folks, Morris Gillette is getting paid by Zog. He's being allowed to go ahead and get this money. And from what I gather, I'm glad that he's dried out. I hope he isn't going ahead smoking crack no more or cocaine. But, folks, he's letting in Jews and Mamzers. He has no problem with letting him do that. And, folks, he will go ahead and snitch you out if you're stupid enough to let him here, okay? All right? Yeah, okay. Well, he's about a human growth hormone. I don't know why. I'd say he's, gone ahead. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and talk about this thing about Ebola Gates and how I got my sort of revenge. And let me just tell you that Ebola Foster, or Ezola Foster, I call her Ebola Gates, was a lot better human being than old Pat Buchanan ever was. I mean, it's a hell of a deal that a nigger woman has far more respect for a white man's rights than old Pat Buchanan never did. Factions continue fight during convention here. And essentially, it was on the front page of the Tennessee, National Tennessean of July 28, 2001. Reform delegates seek agenda for party. Factions continue, fight during convention here, by Rob Johnson, staff writer. Martin Lindstedt, a Missouri trucker and militia member who has campaigned on a white nationalist pro-America, white America first political platform, threw open his Nashville hotel door when he heard scratching noises in the middle of the night. Well, it was about 8 minutes before midnight. I just found out from this little faggot named Greg Roberts that essentially the next day it didn't matter. Even though the credentials committee had found out that me and Doc Keller were the only actual people who were actually elected according to law to be state delegates from our congressional district. It didn't matter. He said the next day the Buchanan people is going to go ahead and vote out, kick out the Missouri and California delegations because they weren't Buchananites, or they weren't sufficiently for Buchanan's policy. Now, Buchanan was going to go ahead and make a no exceptions abortion plank, even though he said he wouldn't do that when he joined the Reform Party. But he'd gone ahead, he'd gotten $12.3 million, and most of it gave to Babe Buchanan. And people at Long Beach says that Babe Buchanan was, you know, made Hillary Clinton look like a lady. Grew up in his Nashville hotel door when he heard scratching noises in the middle of the night. Wearing nothing but underwear, and it was rather skimpy underwear, he focused on the African-American woman who had mistaken his room, you know, number for hers. As she apologized for the late-night mix-up, Liz had realized he was face-to-face with Pat Buchanan's Reform Party running mate in the 2000 presidential election. Hey, you're Isola Foster. Both are in town for the National Convention of the Reform Party, the political movement that sprouted up around the presidential candidacy of Ross Perot, delighted Jesse Ventura's Minnesota gubernatorial victory, and has ignited one factional fight after another as it has become Buchanan's platform for his White House aspirations. Buchanan and Ventura have long since left the party. Buchanan is now its torchbearer. Yesterday, some members of the California and Missouri delegations found themselves excluded from the meeting, a sure sign, they said, that the Buchanan loyalists are continuing to hijack the party from its belief in cleaning up government ethics and campaign finance to a party with polarizing stance on social issues such as immigration and abortion. Today, the party is scheduled to vote on whether to add an anti-abortion plank to its platform. All around the convention halls are pamphlets and posters warning of the threat of immigrants pouring into the country. Page 2, Reform. National Convention here proves a study in contrast. While delegates hammered out proposed changes in the party's constitution yesterday, the liveliest conversations took place in the hallways outside the National Convention Center ballroom. Foster glided through the corridor in a sleek suit and straw hat, encountered Linstead, now in jeans and well-worn sneakers. They reminisced about their embarrassed introduction the night before, laughed and chatted briefly. She was talking to the Missouri man and party member who Buchanan had once denounced as crude, obscene, vile, and bigoted in the extreme. Into a reporter's hand, it was his, Linstead presented a flyer about the two main political parties represent, quote, the special interests of minorities, foreign governments like China and Israel, the UN, trial lawyers, homosexuals, gun control, the New World Order, etc., they excused themselves. As he walked away, Foster said she hadn't realized he was the man her running mate described. Well, as being crude, obscene, vile, and bigoted. Folks, did I go ahead and call her a freaking nigger? Did I go ahead and scream at her? And the answer is hell no. I wanted her to go ahead and admit that essentially she had accidentally tried to go ahead and enter my hotel room. And, folks, I went ahead and took that as an advantage because, hey, I knew the next day we would be voted out and these so-called Reform Party people didn't give a crap about reform. They didn't give a crap about doing anything other than getting their own way. Folks, none of these political parties represent anybody at all. I mean, never had, folks. If you believe that essentially these people who go ahead and run or want to run, and I don't care even if it's people who have absolutely no chance of power like libertoons or in that case Reform Party people, they don't intend to go ahead and help anybody out. They don't intend to go ahead and help, you know, anybody. They talk about reform. Here were these people who essentially, because two state delegations from Missouri and California didn't agree with them, that they were going to go ahead and kick them out illegally. Folks, how does anybody from Georgia or Mississippi or Colorado have any right to go ahead and decide what these voters, or in this case, the people who had been elected by their foreign party voters to go ahead and represent their state districts. What do these people have any right to go ahead and determine what other state parties do? And folks, after that 2001 Reform Party convention, essentially everybody who didn't like what had happened went home to their states and essentially denounced that particular Reform Party convention. That's exactly what they only did. Okay? What about Baby Cash? She's a lying bitch. Okay? Yeah, nigger pussy. Yeah, anyway. You used to be Victor. Okay, let me see. Okay. Anyway, where am I at here? Okay. Anyway, where was I? That's probably why, you know, Foster said she was excited the party, which originally avoided polarizing social stands, was now embracing them. That's probably the reason why the party never moved, because they don't want to take a stand, she said. I don't see how you can separate socialist issues from financial issues. I hear people say, I'm a fiscal conservative but liberal on social issues. How can you be? You have to pay for these social issues, and most of these issues are unconstitutional. So this is the thing that distinguishes us. We, hopefully tomorrow, will be the only party that is truly pro-life. We will be the only party that's truly for the Constitution. We're the only party that truly believes in American sovereignty. Both Democrats and Republican administrations want an open border policy. A country without borders is no country at all. Nearby, a candidate for public advocate in New York City worried about the direction of the party. We've got to recruit candidates, said Mike Zumbluskas. If you don't have leaders, well, the grassroots can only grow so big. This country is going down the wrong road, he said. He talks about an increasingly two-class society, one that churns out doctors and lawyers but neglects to teach others a trade, forcing blue-collar jobs offshore. However, taking a controversial stand on abortion is not going to help his Reform Party candidacy in New York. Let's face it, it's going to cost me votes. It doesn't have to be. Foster thinks otherwise. The Reform Party is representing the American people. I think that's what we are trying to do with this party, is to represent the silent majority. One of the militia members with extreme views, such as Winstead. I've met a lot of militiamen in Montana. That's the beauty of this party. We have people that believe so strongly in this nation. There are a few who would go to any extreme to promote their belief, but the vast majority of us believe in going the legal route. Folks, let me go ahead and say is that Isola Foster, she was a nigger, a Looney Tune coon who got a crazy check. And essentially, you know, Pat Buchanan couldn't get Alan Keyes to go ahead and become his, presidential running mate. And folks, after he went ahead and chose her, Pat Buchanan went down from 3.7 million to, in the general election, he had 700,000 people vote for him, which was roughly 0.7% of the population. The fix was in, so he could go ahead and get all this money. Now, about this convention, I was going ahead and recording it on VCR, on old RCA, VCR. Does anyone here know Vincent Bertolini? What happened with old Vincent Bertolini? Old Paul Mullett. I haven't heard anything about Paul Mullett recently. I'm not sure if he's going back to Vincent Bertolini. There's another Aryan Nation faction here. Old Vincent Bertolini got caught, spent about 7 years in jail, got out about last year. And I think he's forming his own thing here, but he's with August Christ, is what Vincent Bertolini is with here. Okay? Now, let me go ahead and point out is that August Christ here, he's an idiot. He's a mooch. He's a goofhead. But Gillette is a Zogbot. Gillette supports Mamzers. Gillette support, you know, goes ahead and ordains Mamzers. And, folks, he found Mamzers far better ministers for his particular faction, because when you end up having white men like me or Pastor John Britton, we're not very tractable. Essentially, we believe what we believe, and we're not going to go ahead and go along with this horseshit. I went in and supported Morris Gillette here. In fact, that's how I first met Pastor John Burton. He was trying to go ahead and get me to support Gillette, and I did support Gillette. Heck, for a while, I was Gillette. I was Gillette's Missouri contact. Well, later on, Gillette went ahead and made old liar Bill Mumpsnuff the clue. He was, quote, Missouri contact. Then he found out that old Mumpsnuff was a complete idiot. Complete retard, and he sort of kicked him upstairs and got rid of old Mumpsnuff. So, here you have a bowel movement which is just full of retards. But I want to get back to Buchanan. At this particular convention, these people were claiming that since we couldn't go ahead and get along with these Buchananite people, we couldn't get along with these, you know, Perot people, essentially, these people from other states had a right to go ahead and kick out the Missouri and California delegations simply because, well, hey, we don't like what these people who elected you and sent you to do. Why, that's contrary. So essentially, we're going to go ahead and disenfranchise you. And here they are claiming to be the Reform Party. And like I told people, if you want to have reform, the very first people you should go ahead and reform is yourself. You should go ahead and be the first one to go ahead and be honest and, you know, have some legitimacy and understanding is not everybody's going to go ahead and agree with you. Well, what happens is that they needed, you know, they fought and fought and fought and fought about whether or not they actually had a quorum. And what they did is that they brought in Dr. Joseph Keller, and offered him a position. But they wouldn't offer me because they knew I was pretty well inflexible. I pretty well pointed out is that, look, folks, in the convention committee, what happens is that we picked up in St. Louis this guy who claimed to be Aryan Nations. He was sort of short, fat, you know, sort of soft. We got 60 miles into, you know, Illinois. And then the guy had what I call yellow fever. He said he was sick. He didn't feel like going. And Dr. Keller says, well, let's not go. I said, I drove 300 miles from Granby up to there. You wanted to go. Did you pay for the motel room? Yes. I said, you know, are you going to get your money back? No. I said, let's go down there. Let's swim in the pool. And let's enjoy the clown show. So we took the guy back. So we backtracked 60 miles, so that took 120 miles, well, more than that, out of the freaking way. Just back 2.5 hours. We got there, and I demanded to go ahead and talk to the credentials committee. I pointed out is that me and Dr. Keller, we were elected by the committeemen for the 3rd District and the 7th, you know, District. Respectively, we were actually elected. Now, folks, the only people in the 7th District were pretty well people who essentially I'd gone ahead and recruited. But, folks, that's what I've seen in these small political parties. They essentially don't believe in grassroots. They don't believe in actual political representation. They get an advantage and essentially they use it. And that's what happened with the Reform Party. Well, anyway, here's Doc Keller, and you know, I said, hey, vote against their, you know, abortion platform, because they only took you so they would have a quorum. And essentially, they had to go ahead and cheat. And the main thief was this Jew named Dan Charles, who went ahead and formed this American First Party later on. He was a Jew. And he looked like a little Jew. He was a greasy little kike is what he was. Now, Joe Keller was a Pearsite. Okay? Anyway, where am I at here? Well, now he lives in Mexico here. Okay. Anyway, you know, where am I at here? Okay. Let me see here. NF. Okay, I guess Northwest Front here. All righty. Well, what happens is that, you know, who cares if Jesse Ventura sabotaged Buchanan's candidacy? I mean, heck, old Buchanan sabotaged my candidacy. He'd give a crap. If the voters of Missouri had gone ahead and chosen me in the primary, well, guess what? He wasn't going to go ahead and honor what the primary voters in Missouri said. Here I was saying this, that Buchanan had won the presidential primary in Missouri. He should go ahead and be, you know, essentially get the delegates from Missouri. And sure enough, he did. Now, this Doug Llewellyn, he was a pro-by, he was a government worker. Essentially, he'd go ahead and tell me is that, well, no, he didn't really like Negroes because essentially he worked for the state of Missouri as a labor relations, and essentially he was robbed by a nigger. And what happens as a result here, he didn't really like or trust or want to live among African Americans, but that didn't mean I have any right to be racist. I'm looking at him and saying, you idiot. You yourself know what niggers are like. You live around Kansas City, you know damn well what they're like. And essentially you give me a hard time because I'm saying what they're like. Folks, you have all these people who they talk big shit and essentially they're liars. The vast majority of Reform Party members, just like, you know, the vast majority of USTP members, vast majority of libertoons. What happens is that you'll have a whole bunch of these old senile thieves and the walkers and the rest here talking about restoring America, and you'll have a token nigger or two, and they will suck up to that nigger in order to show how non-racist they are. They will go ahead and pick an Uncle Tom nigger like Thomas Sowell or Walter Williams or whatever, a good nigger, a good Uncle Tom nigger. And folks, niggers know how to do that here. Niggers are adept at that sort of shit. And what happens, Zola Foster, she was a nice little Uncle Thomas nigger. And I went ahead and, well, hey, I wasn't wearing my Klan sheets. I wasn't doing this. I wasn't doing that. So anyway, they went ahead and passed the no abortions, you know, plank after they went ahead and had to vote up three times, and the Jew was going ahead and causing trouble. And Pat Buchanan was at that convention. He went ahead, he showed up, gave a little speech, and barely half the people didn't show up because essentially, you know, they were saying, go Pat, go, go Pat, go. Well, some of us at the very back were saying, no, Pat, no! No, Pat, no! Essentially, he went ahead and gave about a half-hour speech. And, hey, I went ahead and drove Marveline Panky back. She went ahead and she brought her own little cards there. And, folks, she was the actual elected chairman of the Missouri Reform Party. And these people go ahead and stripped her, you know, supposedly stripped her at that convention of her vote, just like she went ahead and stripped me of my vote and, you know, Keller of his vote. And then went ahead and brought it back. So, folks, here are these people talking about Reform Party. Essentially, what they did is you go ahead and let a wigger-tard have a little bit of power. He won't give a crap about rule of law. He won't give a crap about actually representing people. And folks, that's exactly what's going on in our country here. There is no real legitimate rulership. And I've got to go ahead and laugh. And here is Dr. Kevin McDonald's thing here. And I go ahead and write stuff, and it goes on my forum, goes over on Stumbling, goes over on Beer Barrel, Monkey Barrel, and you end up having the mamsers and monkeys over there, fussing and pissing and moaning on that, like Pluto, this old Seattle Jew. But my post over on Dr. Kevin McDonald about, oh, how we all stand together, Buchanan. Folks, Buchanan was a lying whore. He had his chance to go ahead and be real racist in 2000 when he was running for Reform Party president. And folks, let's not whine about poor Buchanan. He got $12.3 million. Now, did he go ahead and invest $50,000 or $100,000 in building a real reform party? Nope, he just went ahead and took the money, put it in his own pocket, gave it to Baby Cannon. That's exactly what he did, okay? That's exactly what he did. In any case, where am I at here? Thousand Tards Care? I got to go ahead and look at that one here. Oh, okay, 1,000 Tards Care. Looks like another little politician looking on that here. Anyway, let's see. Okay, anyway, folks, what happens when Dr. Kevin McDonald or his little tards go ahead and they don't go ahead and grieve for moderation? That particular comment about how Pat Buchanan essentially is nothing more than a lying whore. And that's all he was. That's all he ever was. You have these people going ahead and whining about President Bashar al-Assad of Syria and how he doesn't go ahead and allow his people to have liberty or freedom or anything like that. Well, folks, here in America, if you're a, quote, white supremacist or a white nationalist, you do not get to run for United States office or senatorial office in Missouri. So how is it so superior to what's going on in Syria? Folks, I have been running for a number of years for political office, at least when I was out of jail. And folks, all these so-called patriot parties, all they are is just false fronts. All they are is just a pretense here. Pat Buchanan, when he went ahead and got $12.3 million for going ahead and choosing a nigger running primate. And essentially, he lost 3 million votes from white men. And where did those votes go to? Well, actually, they went to Bush. If Pat Buchanan hadn't gone ahead and chosen a nigger, chances are Al Gore would be president. And that was the entire thing. Pat Buchanan gets $12.3 million, and George Bush gets elected president of the United States thanks to Florida. Ohio. And what happens? Pat Buchanan got, 700,000 votes, down from 3.7. What happened? Well, he went ahead and chose a nigger. And so these swiggers went ahead, these southern, whites went ahead and voted for Bush. Unlike what should have happened, essentially, if the Republican Party decides that essentially they get to choose who their presidential nominee is and not whites. Well, folks, the answer to that is not to vote for Republican, but rather, certainly not vote for a nigger, but simply not bother to go ahead and vote at all. Just simply let the Republicans or whatever, these traitors, go ahead and get what they have coming here. I've gone ahead and I've looked at this Ward, Kendall, and all these other people, and just like all intellectuals, they think that they have a wonderful plan. If anybody just goes ahead and just so follows it, they will do so good. And the answer is no, they won't. No, they won't. When you have a bunch of wiggers who are unable to do anything other than act like ass clowns, do anything other than just go ahead and try to go along in order to get along, and they're not able to go ahead and rule over themselves, you're not going to go ahead and get anything accomplished. Folks, I can already tell here that unless there's something, you know, just totally out of line, this nigger, this fraudulent nigger who shouldn't even be on the ballot because he's not an American citizen, is going to go ahead and get a second term, just like Harold Cummings said. When it comes down to it, I think old Mittens Palooka will be handed or coronated, even though two-thirds of the Republican Party cannot stand the worthless piece of shit who sounds exactly like Mittens, who believes in essentially forcing people to go ahead and buy health insurance, who essentially believes in going ahead and, well, vulture capitalism, going ahead and just robbing people, going ahead and stealing jobs, shipping them off to China, wherever. Folks, Mittens Palooka is essentially just a wigger obongo. That's all he is. So why in the world should you go ahead and vote to be screwed by a piece of shit? Folks, there's nothing wrong with going ahead and saying to hell with it, refusing to vote for the nigger, but also refusing to vote for the Republican piece of shit here, who essentially is just a fraudulent case in order to go ahead and, you know, follow that. Same way, with Stunt, don't whine about poor old Patsy Buckley. Don't go ahead and whine, because essentially when it came down to it, here I was, going ahead and essentially running to go ahead and end the immigration, to go ahead and end. Beaners come to this country, and here he is. He calls me a racist. He says I'm vile, bigoted, obscene, whatever. Folks, why whine about an old wigger, an old race traitor, who essentially has gone ahead and reached his usefulness as a little prop on the Obongo channel? Now, folks, he's been picked up by the Foxy Bushy channel. Folks, he's actually doing better here because I think the Bushy channel has more people than the Obongo channel, MSNBC. Folks, nobody goes in and listens. I mean, folks, Al Sharpton, I think is a more moral nigger than Pat Buchanan because Al Sharpton doesn't pretend to love white people. He's just a thieving nigger. He only gives a crap about niggers. Now, folks, you know, I wouldn't have minded being denounced by Al Sharpton. Wouldn't have bothered me one bit, okay? So, anyway. Well, I mean, Obongo probably will get the second term. No problem. No problem at all. Anyway, let me go ahead and unmute number 15, and I'm going to go ahead and take another break. And it's going to be about maybe 10 minutes before I come back. Hail victory here. Well, I doubt Al Sharpton is a federal snitch, but who cares? I mean, guest number 5, what are you going to say to Al Sharpton here that he needs to have a wire? Al Sharpton comes up. And can you imagine me and Al Sharpton have anything to say other than Al Sharpton called me a fucking evil white man Klansman and me calling him a nigger? I mean, why would you need a wire for that? Okay? Marty is really a second shot. Oh, by the way, Jay Heidler, I noticed that you were having fun over on Dan John's the other night here. So, by the way, where was I? last night on Dan Johns. I mean, I think old Joe Pennsylvania was making big time fun of McFag, and I don't think McFag was able to detect it here. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back in a little bit. Hail Victory. Okay, folks, I'm back. I'm not sure this is going to be the last segment of the Movement Turret or not. I may go ahead and call it a night here quick enough here. Talking about the, quote, good old days of 2000 or so, back when I had my grandchildren. Look at this Jennifer Granholm or something like that. Now, she's the ex-governor of Michigan, and she looks like she's a hot chick here, you know what I mean, for a politician. And probably a name like Granholm, she's probably, oh, she looks like she's blonde or something like that. She could be a, she could be an Aztecitis, but she don't really look like that here. But anyway, she goes ahead and she was talking about how old Mittens is pretty well a loser because he went ahead and used this financial Bain Capital, which was just simply a Jew venture capitalist outfit. And folks, I see these Republicans going ahead and blaming Obongo for high gas prices. Well, folks, I blame the nigger too, but the fact of the matter is these Republican retards who's going ahead and caused the high gas prices, high gasoline prices. How so? Well, the sense that they're the ones who've gone ahead, and except for Ron Paul, talked about how they want to have a war with Iran. They want to go ahead and have a war with Iran. And, folks, as a result, I believe it's been that shit which has gone ahead and raised the price of gasoline. Not Obongo, but the Republicans, except for Ron Paul. Oh, by the way, Ron Paul, from what I gather, is a crook. He's gone ahead and received double billing for his little campaign flights, both from the U.S. taxpayer and from the campaign of himself running for president. He's gotten reimbursed twice for airline tickets, 23 or 27 times here, okay? So, we don't know what high gas prices are. Folks, we don't live in Germany, we don't live in France, to where essentially you're only a kilometer away from, well, pretty well buying about anything in town here. You have all these towns which are, what, less than, you know, walking distance practically, and you have a rail line that works real good in Germany and the rest of the country. They all have their rail line. Folks, this is not like when you live out in America where essentially like West River, South Dakota, where you will drive hundreds of miles or at least 30 miles, 60 miles in order to go ahead and get to a town to where you can buy stuff and then come back. That's why people, you know, when I was raised up here, that's why you have a bunch of bitching about how much trash I have. Because when you live out, you know, like I did, 17 miles south of a 400 population town like Harold, South Dakota, we're 34 miles away from, well, a good sized town like Pierce, South Dakota, which had used to have what, when I was young, maybe 10, 11,000 population there because of the state capital and the county seat of Hughes County. Folks, when you live a far away from town here, you don't go ahead and throw things away. You don't throw anything away at all. Folks, yes, in America, when you do not have mass transit, you don't have anything where it's all together an automobile society, yes, $3 or $4 a gallon gasoline is very high. It's very, very high. Folks, when you go ahead and look and think about what boils down, somebody's gone ahead and pointed out this Paul Kersey of stuff black people don't like. It's pointed out that essentially Uyghurs are not able to go ahead and live miles and miles and miles away from work. To commute from white suburbs, you know, and live away from niggers. pretty soon it's going to be that there's no getting away from niggers, there's no getting away from Jews, there's no getting away from any of these creatures, okay? Did you do a show about that? Well, folks, your survival, the very first survival skill you should have is to know who your friends are and who your enemies are. That's your very first thing here, okay? Well, you know, they'll know when they're peddling their ass to their employment office on 10th Street. Yeah. Folks, you've had pretty well to where here are all these characters, these Republicans. Essentially what they're talking about is cutting the safety net, and the Whiggers no longer have jobs. They're no longer able to go ahead and pay for all this stuff. And they're not able to pay for the niggers. They're certainly not able to pay for the Jews. What then? What then? It's not going to look pretty at all, is it? Will it be pretty at all? Okay? Where will you get toilet papers? Well, you know, the thing about it is, though, you no longer have Sears catalogs hardly here. I don't think you certainly don't have Montgomery Wards to go ahead and wipe your ass on in an outhouse anymore, do you? Okay? So, what was I going to talk about? Well, I was going to talk about how these intellectuals, be it Kevin McDonald, be it Pat Buchanan, be it David Duck, be it any of these retards, are able to go ahead and accomplish anything. In the case of Morris Gillette, folks, here he is. He used to not have any money. He wasn't able to go ahead and draw even, you know, more than $1,000 from the, you know, from Harold Groom's estate. Now he's able to go ahead and buy a compound. He's able to go ahead and buy 20 acres. Now, folks, I suspect that, you know, that his mother has died and that essentially, he's gone ahead and sold her property, and he's going ahead and using some of that money to go ahead and buy his little compound or whatever. But, folks, here it is. Here he is ordaining Jews. He's going ahead and bringing in Jews like Eli James. He's going ahead and, well, you know, Mamzers like Jeremy Visser and Brian Wright. Folks, here you have, I mean, you go ahead and look at the people who showed up to his little Aryan Nations Congress, and four or five of them look like they're high yellow niggers. Is this what Aryan Nations is? Now, folks, it never was much of anything other than a bunch of criminals. It, you know, essentially for every criminal they brought in, the butler brought in, you'd have about, what, 10 or 20 family men leave? How is that going to go ahead and accomplish anything? The answer, it doesn't accomplish anything at all. It never has and it never will. But now this character is claiming to be Aryan Nations. Well, folks, he got kicked out by Butler. Was not allowed to, you know, come back by Butler. Same way with August Crisis, two factions here. And folks, going ahead and bringing in a bunch of criminals. Folks, all it means is you just have a bunch of criminals. And them criminals, because of their weaknesses, because of their addictions to drugs, just like Morris Gillette, are in trouble. And more to the point, Morris Gillette, when he essentially had the Church of the Sons of Yahweh free and clear, the Legion of the Saints free and clear, what does he do? He goes ahead and goes to someone affiliated with his rival, August Crisis faction. And here's this character named Joshua Caleb Sutter. Here they are in a motel room, dead drunk, talking about robbing banks and bringing themselves up to where they can serve, be, you know, be
sentenced for 30 years. Instead, they get 6 and 5, respectively, years. Folks, I believe Glenn is all near his dog pot. But you have Obagenda Bender whining and pissing and moaning. But at the same time, Obagenda Bender is with Finkelschini. And Finkelschini doesn't like Morris Gillette because Morris Gillette has Eli James going to his Aryan Nations Congress. Boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo. Now, isn't that somewhat of a joke? Oh, okay. And you whiskey? All right. Well, folks, Sears closed down, in Utah. Well, folks, I don't know if I would want to go ahead and wipe my ass with a Romans catalog. Roxy goes ahead and gets a Romans catalog every so often here. And that's printed on glossy paper. I don't know if I would want to wipe my ass with a Romans catalog. Okay? Okay. Anyway. Well. All righty here. Well, folks, I went ahead. Roxy uses a washcloth. I use toilet paper. You know what I mean? So, well, okay. Well, Frank, when you live out in the Lone Prairie, far away from anybody, no one really cares what your wool clothes smell like. Anyway, folks, I don't know. I think I'm going to go ahead and call it. I think I'm going to go ahead and end up calling it a night here. I don't know if I really have much of anything more to say. I pretty well ran out of things to say. Pretty well, I want to go ahead and talk about Morris Gillette. I've already gone ahead and done so. Pretty well, I'll let Logan, do most of the thing here. What happens is that, well, I'll go ahead and get to Keith South. I'm going to go ahead and cover with Keith Southworth here. During the last 3 weeks or something like that, I think Keith has pretty well run out of the ability or never did have the ability to go ahead and do a show by himself. And since he couldn't go ahead and get along with me, or at least I wouldn't get along with him, or folks, I don't really like being called a heretic and a liar because I don't agree with somebody. Now, I found out, pretty well, folks, I do believe that I'm right. I don't believe in pre-existence. I don't believe in a number of these other notions. And, folks, because I don't agree with them, I don't go ahead and, I don't go ahead and promote them. But on the other hand, I don't have a problem with someone like Logan or Keith, when I was able to go ahead essentially and at least keep Keith on some sort of track, or at least keep whatever Keith said here to where he would go ahead, and get this thing done here, I didn't have a problem with that. But, folks, during the last, 2 weeks here, I'm going ahead and schedule the show. And Tuesday night, essentially, I decided I wasn't going to argue with Keith. I was going to go ahead and chat in the chat room here. I sent him an email. I sent a number of people an email saying that the show is scheduled for 8:15 Central Time. And Keith could have started the show, and Keith could have done his show. He chose not to do so. But as a result, I'm not going to go ahead and schedule any more shows. I'm going to let Keith schedule his own show. He can call me up on Skype. He can go ahead and do whatever he wants here. And what I will do is I'm thinking of going ahead and maybe having my own Bible study or having whatever. And, maybe on Tuesday nights, maybe have a Bible study. Or maybe have Logan go ahead, because Logan takes great joy in talking. And he loves to have Linda on the show. And, folks, that's why I wanted to go ahead, since we're coming up to the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, or as some people call it, Titanic. I call it the Titanic. Essentially, you can go ahead and talk about how Jews are responsible instead of icebergs. It was Jewbergs who went ahead and sunk the Titanic. And that's why usually I want to go ahead and keep Keith's notions here, some of his, you know, sort of really good ones here, like Angela Merkel being Adolf Hitler's love child. Joe, I want to go ahead and keep it on the Logan Hunter, you know, show. So, folks, tomorrow, you know, we'll go ahead and maybe talk, you know, no telling what, you know, he's going to go ahead and come up with. But essentially about how the Titanic, you know, the sinking of the Titanic was caused by Jews, of course. Are you having an internet affair? The answer is, I don't know. I don't really care. All right? Anyway, so the rest of the year, wear wool. Folks, it's hard to find wool clothing anymore. It really is. I don't know. I think you can go ahead and find woolen clothing, but it's expensive as it can be. I have a suit that was made out of virgin British wool, and folks, it no longer fits me. I mean, that's when I had a size 35 waist here, and now I have a size 40 waist, so I ain't able to fit into it. But, folks, I don't know if you can even get wool anymore here, you know what I mean? Well, it is out there? Okay, it is out there here. Anyway, do they have the same FBI handle? Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't think the FBI. I mean, if the FBI was go ahead and do anything here, I don't think the FBI would pretty well. I mean, I don't think the FBI would go ahead and talk about Angela Merkel is Adolf Hitler's long lost half Jew love child. And I don't think the FBI is interested in talking about how the Titanic sank because of Jews. Okay? I used to think it was icebergs here, but what the heck? Who cares? All right? Well, folks, it's not against the law to think that essentially the Titanic was sunk by Jews. Okay? So there's nothing there that will really get people in trouble, and I think the Logan Hunter Show is entertaining. And, folks, I don't know. If I go ahead and do a Bible study show, it would probably be on Tuesday nights. Okay? Anyway. So, pretend to be racist conspiracy theorists. Well, folks, any of you going ahead and listen to Logan Hunter, do any of you really believe that Logan is a master of espionage? Folks, with Logan, what you see is what you get. Logan, you know, Logan is genuine. You know, Russ is genuine. Now, sometimes, you know, sometimes you say genuinely retarded, but, you know, they are genuine. You really got to say that, okay? So, and folks, I really like talk to you myself here. You know, last night, old Dan Johns, I had to laugh because old Dan Johns has given up arguing with trolls like me. Folks, I used to go ahead, and what I would do is I would go ahead and get the Sheba number 2 and log in using Firefox and Google Chrome. I'd get compact number 1, and I would go ahead and get Toshiba number 1 on Chrome, so I would have 5 browsers, 5 guests here. What I would do is I'd go ahead and leave one of them, to go ahead and talk with Joe Pennsylvania at the end of the show after Dan Johns and Fag were gone. And essentially, I would go ahead and troll the crap out of Dan Johns' show. Well, guess what? Dan Johns, over the last, couple of weeks, no longer allows guests to go ahead and even have anything to say. And so what you have is you have the wandering mamsers of Wikipedia and TalkShoe. And folks, there's nothing wrong with these characters pretending to be something, but most of them don't know anything about Christian identity. Most of them ain't even white. So what to do? And the answer is, well, nothing to do. Folks, I don't have any really solutions here other than to let nature take its course, understand that there is no solutions, and that certainly the intellectuals have no ideas of what to talk about. Essentially, what they are is that intellectuals are delusional tards themselves. They think they're smart. They think they get to control things here. They're talking about, how in the world we're going to go ahead and have a white racial republic. And they're going to somehow get it by whining for it or thinking about it. Or running some character here in a third, fourth or fifth party. Somehow they're going to go ahead and be able to go ahead and accomplish that. They don't want someone like me going ahead and saying, look, folks, Cannon is not a racial patriot. He's just a cheap whore. He's just a liar. He's just a thief. All he is just a pretender. Anybody who goes ahead and follows Pat Buchanan or say they agree with Pat Buchanan will be denounced by Pat Buchanan for racism. Talk with Jim Floyd here after in 2000. Essentially said, well, Pat has always wanted to be liked. He just wants to go ahead and talk about how we need to do this and we need to do that. He doesn't really mean to go ahead and do this. He doesn't really mean to go ahead and keep out all these Catholic beaners from coming to this country. He doesn't really mean what he's talking about. He just wants to go ahead and play at being something that he's not. He wants to go ahead and hold back. The same thing with this Kevin McDonald. Kevin McDonald doesn't want to go ahead and actually go ahead and restore the white race by going ahead and making sure that the Jews, they go ahead and talks about guardedly, are dead, killed in a pogrom by white people. He doesn't want to go ahead and talk about how these mamsers and these niggers need to be destroyed. Folks, you go ahead. Use the word, the N-word as he looks at it. Why, hey, you're just an evil racist here. Someone to go ahead and be looked down upon. And so all these characters, all these little intellectuals, I was looking at Ward Kendall, he was going ahead and criticizing McDonald. So essentially what it boils down to is his idea is to go ahead and have Ward Kendall go ahead and somehow take over the movement. This bitch about Covington. Well, folks, Covington is actually doing something. You intellectuals, all you're doing is just writing a book. All you're doing is playing at shit. You're not accomplishing anything. Now, intellectuals, they go ahead, and this is pretty well what this show is about here. You go ahead and call a nigger a nigger. What boils down to is you're just a crude racist bigot. Whereas what happens is that, if you go ahead and say the same thing but call them African Americans, why, that just lifts the discourse ever so much higher. But does it accomplish anything? And the answer is no. It doesn't accomplish anything at all here. When he says that right-wing white nationalists is useless as tits on a bull, the answer is sure. I agree with Metzger.
I don't agree with what Harold Covington said about Tom Metzger, even if it's true or not here. I've never really attacked Metzger, and as a result, I've had some conversations with Metzger. What you got to understand is that the right wing, the so-called right wing, essentially, it doesn't have any love, especially the intellectual part. It doesn't have any love for the actual white people it claims to represent. Now, folks, I'm honest. I don't have any much use for Uyghurs. I don't see anything good about Uyghurs. The only way to go ahead and save the white race is to simply let nature take its course and run through the fire of the Great Tribulation. 9 out of 10 Uyghurs need to die. Now, folks, it's just like the Black Death, to where essentially you have the building of the Renaissance upon all these people dying in the Black Death, and the ones who died were the weakest, were the ones which were underbred, the ones which were weak, the ones who were just simply poor. Until the earth was cleaned or cleansed of these people here, simply being making way just like a bunch of dead brush, you couldn't have the Renaissance. But you had the Renaissance around 50 years, two generations after the Black Death had gone ahead and killed half to two-thirds of Europe. Okay? Well, he says that Metzger was sued by Morris Deeds, and essentially he's giving half the money to Morris Deeds in return for the other half. Okay? All right? So where am I at here? Well, you have these people, being a white nationalist in Southern California is not an act of suicide. It's an act of futility. It's an act of being a dinosaur bellowing from the tar pits. It's not really an act of suicide. I mean, Metzger's lived to be 70-some years old. He's going ahead and living with a widow in Indiana. I mean, essentially what happens is Metzger is enjoying concubinage here. You know what I mean? He's kept man here. And I don't have a problem with that. And some of what Metzger writes makes sense here. A lot of what he writes doesn't. Okay? And he is right here. He is right about, right-wing ding-a-ling horseshit being useless. Yes, useless. Doesn't accomplish anything. Okay? So, in any case, it looks like we're getting toward about the end here. There's not that many people on right now. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call it a night. Yeah, then I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I mean, I want to go ahead and say is that intellectuals are absolutely worthless. Hitler had no use for intellectuals. I was pointing out, back on StumbleIn, is that someone like me and Pastor John Britton, with essentially our reflexive dislike of Jews, to where, folks, we wouldn't mind shooting Jews at all. I mean, essentially, when it comes down to it, we just simply let the Jews, shoot the Jews. Let's not go ahead and think about, how they're human beings, because they're not. They're Jews. I've been talking with Pastor John Britton essentially about Leon DeGrelle's book about his campaign in Russia. And essentially, he was head of this Flemish Walloon division of the SS. And they were told by the German high command to not let the Lithuanians and the Estonians and the Latvians kill all these damn Jews. Essentially, Leon DeGrelle said, well, hey, as I looked at it, if these Latvians and these Estonians and these Lithuanians want to kill these dirty Jews that were screwing with them, yeah, I might get around to obeying the high command's orders to prevent all these Jews from being killed, but I got something better to do. I think I'm going to wash my tank or something. In many cases, the Germans got blamed here for what these Ukrainians and Estonians and, you know, the Baltic people here went ahead and did to Jews who didn't have enough sense to run away when, essentially, the German army came in. Folks, these Jews deserved whatever they got, and they didn't get nearly as much as they, you know, as they deserved. So like Martin Luther said when he went ahead and found out what the Jews were saying in the Talmud. Well, folks, you have all these intellectuals, Dr. Kevin MacDonald, Paul Flom, all these people, Pat Buchanan, they talk a good game, and when it comes down to go ahead and putting out, and Pat Buchanan never put out, I call him a Catholic cock teaser is what he was. He'd go ahead, and he was already writing a letter about decline of the West here. And the decline of the West is caused by the fact that Whiggers are not having enough babies, and the Beaners are coming in and screwing like mink here, and essentially having a whole bunch of little Beaners. And here I am, calling them immigrants. I-M-M-I-G-R-U-N-T-S. Here I am saying is that they have no place in this country. And kick them out, if necessary, to go ahead and shoot them. And essentially, what it boils down to is Pat Buchanan denounces me for racism. He goes ahead and says is that if I got elected, he would not go ahead and go along with it, even though I had supported him because he had been the choice of the majority of voters in Missouri. And Pat Buchanan couldn't go ahead, essentially, do the same favor. In fact, here I am, and these people going ahead and saying is that even though you were elected by the county committees to be the delegate to the convention from the 7th District, we're going to go ahead and kick you out because we don't like what you're going to go ahead and vote for. Folks, so much for reform. These people didn't believe in reform. These are the people who didn't believe in what they said they believed. They're just liars. They're just thieves. They're just crooks. You know what I mean? And they want to go ahead. Well, there isn't a viable political solution. That's exactly it. When they go ahead and look at someone like me, they see a homicidal maniac who essentially don't understand the nuances of the Jews. You see, that them here, it's just wonderful to go ahead and write a 500-page book about how Jews are different, how Jews are, well, Jews are dishonest and sneaky, and you can't trust them. And what happens to someone like me who simply says, well, Jews, they're the spawn of Satan. There's no such thing as a good Jew. They're all, you know, these dirty Jews. They're Satan's kids. They crawled out, like John Britton's mother said. They come out of Satan's pee hole. Kill them all. Kill them all. Kill them all. Well, that Linstead's a freaking maniac. That Linstead is just, he's not as smart as us here. He ain't going to write 500-page books about Jews being bad. Folks, why do I need to do that? Why do I need to do that? Folks, I bet a Jew would rather face Dr. Kevin MacDonald, a Jew would rather face Pat Buchanan than face someone like me, or Pastor John Britton, with a pistol. You boy? Well, we've had enough of Jew shit here. It's time to go ahead and do something about it. Bang, 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 bang. Well, no shit, Jew boy. And they got to go ahead and come up with the stupid crap. And then when you go ahead and say, essentially the Jews are evil, Jews are spawn of Satan, there's no such thing as a good Jew. Well, you're a maniac, you're an idiot, you're a racist, you're anti-Semitic, you're this, you're that. And then, here it is, old Pat goes ahead and gets a bum's rush from the Obongo channel. And he whines like a pussy about how he didn't have a chance to defend himself. He didn't have a chance to go ahead and, you know, pretty well reason here. Folks, when did I have a chance to go ahead and say, hey, look, Pat, of all the people, well, these are two people who were running for my position here. One didn't even bother to show up at any debates or nothing. The other is an international bankster who essentially believes in a VAT, value-added tax in return, you know, in addition to an income tax. And essentially thinks you're just a, you know, racist idiot yourself. And essentially what you do is you denounce me for racism. Pat, why in the world, if you're going to go ahead and denounce the people who are going to go ahead and act upon what you say you want, why should anybody follow you? Hmm? All these intellectuals, they're just so chicken shit. What happens is that they look down on you because, well, you know, they're just like Uyghurs. They won't say shit, even if they have a mouthful of it, because they're scared. They're scared that, essentially, if they say shit, even though you got a mouthful, is you're going to make them swallow. What some of them are even more scared is that once they swallow, they won't be able to stop eating shit because they like the taste so much. How's that? Hmm? How's that? Well, that's true here. Folks, I've never run away from the term racism. I didn't deny that I was a quote racist. People want to call me a white supremacist. Well, hey, I'll point out that even the most stupid Uyghur really does believe he's superior to a nigger, morally superior to a Jew. It says he's a pussy. I want to go ahead and admit that. What he'll do is he'll go ahead and live as far as he way can from these people he professes to love so much. Folks, when it comes down to it, aren't they the racists here? It's just that in addition to being a racist, they're a liar. In addition to being a racist, they're a hypocrite. In addition to being a racist, they're a coward. Folks, I don't have much use for liars, hypocrites, and cowards. Certainly not when they pretend to be like us here. Folks, don't go ahead. I mean, what good are these people? What good? What do you need a liar? What do you need a hypocrite? What do you need a coward for? You're going to go ahead and choose leadership. You have somebody like Pat Buchanan. He goes ahead, denounces not just me, but anybody else. He goes ahead and takes him at his word and believes the lying bastard. Then he goes ahead and he whines like a pussy. And what? 12 years later, essentially, it's his turn to be turfed out by the Jews and the niggers. Folks, Pat Buchanan should be locked up in a cage of syphilitic Al Sharptons and sodomized up the ass by niggers. You know what I mean? Talks about how tough he is, talks about how, you know, hyper-nigger belligerent he is. No, he's just a coward and a pussy. That's all he ever was. Okay? Anyway. Well, I'm going to go ahead and call it. Folks, I don't worry about what I'm called. Generally, all I look upon is I see who my enemies are. And I know full well these people are not on my side. "Oh, I don't worry about these people." I mean, what you do, and this is what this show's about, it's been about smoking out these people who claim to be with us, who essentially are not us. You know, be they Jews, be they Ramses, or be they treasonous leaders. Folks, what I recommend you do about that, or those who listen to me, is that you go ahead and free your minds from essentially lies. Understand who you're with. Understand who you are and who you are with. As the people you are with, you cannot trust anymore, just cut them loose here and let them go their own way while you go yours. And seek out those who are like you. Have those people you can trust to guard your back, to watch your back, and you watch theirs. And that's what I recommend you do. No man is an island. No man can go ahead and stay up forever here. I'm looking at The Walking Dead. I look at The Walking Dead about how, well, let me see, the week before they went and shot these thieving live wiggers. Folks, they're all worried. They're all clustered on old Herschel's farm. Well, folks, Herschel was going ahead and keeping a bunch of walkers, a bunch of zombies in this barn. What would prevent anyone from going ahead and taking a chainsaw, cutting down every tree within 100 yards, and then later on using those trees to go ahead and build a barricade? Going ahead and using them things to go ahead and dig a ditch, building a little fortification, building a place with spikes, a pit with spikes, to go ahead and trap zombies, mindless creatures. The Romans, heck, even prehistoric men were able to go ahead and build hill forts. We're able to build sort of fortifications to keep out people, wise people who didn't have siege equipment. How come none of these wiggers have enough sense to go ahead and build a fortification? Go ahead and cut down anything which would go ahead and, give cover and concealment to zombies. How come none of them couldn't go ahead and just get 22 ammunition and scramble the brains of all these zombies? How come they're not smart enough to go ahead and do it? And essentially, you see wiggers essentially being at the mercy of undead niggers and zombies and wiggers and what have you. Folks, that's exactly what we have today here. We are living in a mist of wiggers. Essentially, what we do is we go ahead and look, oh, please give me some leadership. Please tell me what to do. Please look for the white man on the horse. And, folks, that white man on the horse is just a whore, like Pat Buchanan, or an intellectual like Kevin McDonald, or a hypocritical lawyer like Paul Fromm, or an idiotic twat like April Gady, or a Zogbot, a drunken crackhead kicked out of the Aryan Nations by, like, Morris Follett. And all these people are going ahead and talking about leadership. Folks, this isn't leadership. The only people Morris Follett ever led here was some Anglo mestizo named Scott Charles Thornton, and all he led him to was a prison cell. That's all he left here. So, anyway, when they call it Nazi Germany, it's short, for National Socialist, okay? Well, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. And, folks, I'll be with you Sunday night. I'll figure out what to talk about then here. But, folks, victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Well, heck, it seems like pretty well every single time I'm about to go ahead and leave, old William B. gets off work or something. Okay, I don't know what to say here. Sort of unfair here, I guess, here. Anyway, I can't go ahead and unmute you because essentially you know. Want to go ahead and call in? Because you just got in just as I was about to go ahead and, you know, calling in to, you know, go ahead and end the show. Okay. Were you going to call in? Anyway, I did notice that you went ahead and, you know, seen where old, you know, Sean Aaron Visser went ahead and admitted that, you know, him and Jeremy were mamsers. You know what I mean? Yeah, essentially that ended all the debate here. Now old Sean Aaron Visser is hoping that I'll go ahead and take down the pictures of him and his nigglets, but that's not gonna happen. Okay? So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, seems like you just come on just so I'm about ready to go ahead and end the show. So, folks, I think that I'm going to go ahead and do end the show. So I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May you always bless. Good night.